Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
It's going to be a great show.
Let's kick it. I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it. Come on. God damn it. Could you one time kick it? What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
What's going on, gang? Good afternoon. Hi there. Greetings. Welcome, welcome. It's game day. It's show day. It's Thursday, right? Yes. How you doing? My name is Alan Cox. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys.
Hey, there's Mary Santora.
Hi, guys. No babies.
And Pound Cake is back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
His mom's got a filthy mouth. He's got a filthy mind. You ever going to have your mom on your podcast?
Yeah. I'll have her eventually. I don't know when, though. She has such a busy schedule.
You, hers or yours?
Hers.
Oh, she's working. She's still work all night?
Yes, and...
Up all night, sleep all day, like the Slaughter song.
Yeah, I mean, that really is how it is. And she, I mean, with COVID and the variants coming out, like, she picks up because they need the help. So whenever she feels like it, I'll have her on.
All right. I mean, you wanted to top those Erica numbers. You'll do it with your mom.
I think so. Maybe I'll have her on Saturday. I'm seeing her Saturday, so we're going out for her birthday.
Oh, yeah, your karaoke adventure.
Karaoke. Yeah. Redmond Lanes in Lorraine.
Maybe I'll have my mom and my brother on. My brother wanted to go on.
Ooh,
but
on a family episode.
The Brown family Thanksgiving. You should just run a microphone at your family Thanksgiving, and that'll be that week's podcast
but
episode.
My brother can't watch his mouth. Like, my brother's not used to being...
He doesn't have to on a podcast.
But he does. he does because I need him to.
Oh. Well, you can edit him.
Yeah.
Edit him out.
Yeah, I guess.
You're working overtime. Anyway, if you would like to join us, we'd love to have you. 216-578-1007, 800-348-1007. If you want to send me a text, 35192 for that. I think it's going to stop raining in time for the game tonight. It's going to rain this afternoon, and then I think it's going to stop. Then I think it's just going to be, there's going to be some wind downtown. Going to be some wind. So, you know, they have to take that into account. Not only are the Browns pretty beaten up, they have to take into account the wind. You know, when they're throwing the ball to each other, they have to allow for wind interference.
No one knows football like Alan Cox.
The wind interference.
It's currently 11 miles per hour.
That's fast.
Slightly northeast. That is fast, isn't it? 11 mile per hour winds? That seems fast. If you were to drive a car, if the wind was a car, and you were to drive that wind car at precisely 11 miles per hour, it seems like you could hurt someone. If you ran into them. Or maybe.
Well, sounds like we have to do an experiment.
Yeah. Poundcake, stand in front of my car as it goes 11 miles per hour. Please first sign this non-disclosure agreement.
That covers that.
That covers that.
You can't hurt me.
And we'll see how that goes.
They actually can. That's why we're doing the science experiment. We don't know if you'll get hurt.
We only have a hypothesis. We need to test it.
How fast are hurricane winds?
They're very fast. Very, very fast.
Usually hundreds of
miles. More than 11.
More than 11.
Yeah, I would say around 100 miles per hour, right?
Probably, I don't know.
It'd be great if they were doing hurricane.
I think it's a couple hundred, isn't it? Like 700 or something?
700? No.
It's not as fast as an airplane?
No.
A hurricane's not as fast as an airplane.
No. High-speed hurricane winds are in like the 110s, 120s, I think. That's very, very high winds. No, I mean, you're talking like 80, 90 mile per hour winds, I think. For
they have mailboxes.
There were like 700 mile per hour winds.
So what you're saying is
American cities would be wiped off the terrain.
An airplane could outrun a hurricane then?
Yes, yeah. If it had to.
Huh.
Have you ever seen those videos where people will drive behind a plane taking off and they'll just get whisked away?
I've never seen that.
No.
Oh, it's, yeah, that's... And
that's just a jet stream. It's a contrail there.
119 kilometers per hour, which is only 74 miles per hour or higher.
Very high winds, though. That's very high. Tonight, they only have to contend with 11 mile per hour winds.
Category 5 hurricane, 157.
Uh-huh.
And that's like as high as it can.
Uh-huh. There you go. Why did you think 700 miles per hour?
I was like, that's how fast an airplane is. It's probably as fast as an airplane.
I think it would be great if they had a weather guy out there doing hurricane coverage, but the wind was only 11 miles per hour. And there's just I'm out here on the coast, guys. There's like a mild ripple in the water.
Or a leaf just flying.
Behind him. Yeah, leaves. You know, I mean, even when they're doing legit hurricane coverage, there's always people walking behind him. This is why, you know, you're trying to get eyeballs on the Weather Channel or whoever's doing weather. Because weather's universal. It appeals to everybody. Everybody has to contend with it. But that's why a lot of weathermen and weather women, weather people, you know, they get jammed up. You'll see memes of a guy standing there in like hip waders, and then there's a guy behind him. It's only ankle deep. You know, they're trying to shoot that shot to make it look like it's really intense. And they're like, yeah, it's not that bad. There's always a guy walking behind him with like a shirt off.
Perception is like what?
Reality.
Yeah, I said that yesterday.
I feel like they had Al Roker, not this past hurricane, but like a couple years ago, they had him like talking, and then he's like, oh, well, let me go hide behind this mailbox. And it was like one of those stationary mailboxes, like in the middle of the city. And then he hid behind the mailbox, and the mailbox lifted up and flew away. And he's like, all right, well, we're going to end this broadcast. I'm going to toss it back to you.
Right. Bye.
Like, literally, he hid behind the mailbox, and it just said, it just flew away.
Roker had to do this last hurricane that came through Louisiana or whatever. Roker had to do the opposite of, I'm too old for this shrimp, because people were complaining that they put Al Roker out there, and he was trying to tell people, I'm not too old to do, I'm not going to get blown away in the wind, this is what I do for a living. People were somehow co-opting his pain, or assuming that they shouldn't put him out there.
Does he have cancer?
What's that?
Doesn't he have cancer?
Al Roker?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't heard about that. I know he lost a lot of weight. I don't think it was due to cancer. He just went on a diet. He used to be a big fat guy. But that was a long time. He's been thin for a while. But no, they'll still put him out because he's a marquee name. They'll put him out there in the middle of the hurricane.
That's a guy that has been around forever, and you never hear...
He started here in Cleveland.
...a goddamn scandal about nothing. You don't hear a peep from Al Roker.
Well, why would you?
Because
why is Al Roker going to get in trouble? He's smart.
Cody thinks everybody's doing.
No, I'm just saying. You never.
A lot of people are doing stuff, but I mean, Al Roker. Why mess up a good thing?
You never suspect.
But there's plenty of people in his similar position that will mess up a good thing because they.
No, he's smart.
They let it go to their head.
He's smart. He didn't have the same latitude that some other people in his position might have. He's got to keep it on the straight and narrow. He can't pull a Matt Lauer and have his door lock when interns walk in. Can't have that. He's Al Roker. Got to pay attention. He's got to keep his head down. He's got to work, work, work. He's got to work twice as hard just to stay afloat. That's why he became a weatherman. You know, he used to say to himself, I've got to work twice as hard just to stay afloat. And he thought, you know, I should make that into a career. It used to be just something, you know, people will have things printed out, little motivational things on their desk. And Al Roker's for a long time, before he got into weather, was, I've got to work twice as hard just to stay afloat. And he was really focused on that word afloat. And he thought, you know, if I ever find myself standing in knee-deep water, I'll know I've made it. Fast forward to today, what is Al Roker doing? Standing in knee-deep water. And he has made it. All the way from Little Cleveland, Ohio, to the Big Apple. You know what city the Big Apple is?
Cleveland.
Oh, we're a plum.
New York City, oh. Mary, where they make all that good salsa.
We have apples here, though.
Yeah, we do.
Lots of them.
And, yes, but we are not big. The Big Apple.
Oh,
we have
a
lot of tiny
little
apples. Little apples.
We're a Big Apple in a small orchard.
Do you ever see a Big Apple in a small orchard?
Yeah.
I see a lot of small apples in giant orchards. I see a lot of rotten apples in orchards, too, but can't do anything about that.
He'd like to give you a piece of his mind.
That's it.
There just isn't that much to go around.
Alan Cox on 100.7 WMMS.
The Buzzard.
416-578-1007 if you want to join us live. 800-348-1007. 35192. If you want to send me a text, you can hit us up at alancoxshow.com. You can watch live there. Thank you to Dorgawode Sobastadon for help. Dorgawode? Dorgawode. Dorgawode Sobastadon.
Dorgawode.
Was it?
Dorgawode.
Dorgawode Sobastadon for assisting in the video department today. And thank you very much. Did Cavaliers win last night?
No, they didn't, but it was a good game.
Okay.
Their rookie, Evan Mobley, looked awesome. He had 17 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, he could be the real deal. And then the rest of the team, they looked good. They were in it till the very end, and then it kind of got away from them in the last minute or so.
Okay. Well, there you go. 132-121 was the final last night in Memphis. Cavs are off tonight. And then tomorrow night, they return home for the home opener against the Charlotte Hornets. So there you go. And then you'll be at the game on Saturday.
Yes, I
will.
Against
the Hawks.
Can't wait. It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger crew of people. So they get 8 tickets.
What, 8 tickets? Wait, what? You bought 8 tickets?
No.
They gave you 8 tickets.
I was given 8 tickets.
Wow.
So
by the station or by the Cavs?
A little from both.
column A.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab them all and get as many as my friends that can go to go.
Gotcha.
And other people, you know. So it's gonna be me and Grandma and you know better and Pants and like there's gonna be a big old
crew you got
coming
a regular
out.
Yeah. Star Wars cantina coming out with you. All right.
I love Cavs games.
Understood. NBA is announcing, because the NBA is celebrating the 75th anniversary, they're naming a 75th anniversary team. They are doling them out 25 at a time, but they have decided to name the 75 greatest players in NBA history. They did this list of the top 50 for their 50th anniversary, which 75 minus 50, so that would have been 25 years ago.
Hey.
Something like that.
50th anniversary.
Which was that when, I think they announced those 50 players at the NBA All-Star Game, or at least they honored them at the NBA All-Star Game. I think that was in Cleveland.
In 96?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then in this year, it's again in Cleveland.
Yeah, for the 50th, they ranked players. This year, they're just listing them. So there's Bill Russell and Dirk Nowitzki, and you know, I didn't see LeBron's name on this. You would think that his name would be on the initial offering of.
They still have one more day, so
they're saving
him and Jordan for last.
Well, Jordan's already out.
Oh, is he already
out?
Yeah,
okay. Magic and AI and Kevin Garnett.
Well, maybe LeBron will make the list.
Clyde the Sly Drexler, Paul. Clyde the Sly. Didn't they call him Clyde the Glide?
Clyde the Glide, yes, not the Slide.
I like the Slide better.
I guess Glide makes more sense, doesn't it? Because you would glide on a court, but you could easily slide on a court.
Lots of people slide on courts.
You don't
want
to be known for the guy that slides on a basketball court.
Clyde the Electric Slide Drexler is not what they called him.
No. Nope.
Wilt, the guy who banged a lot of girls, Chamberlain. I think that was his one and only nickname. And Paul Arizin, I don't know who that is. Paul Arizin? Arizin?
I don't know that one.
Dave Robinson, Moses Malone. You know, all the usual suspects. Kevin McHale. Of course, if you were a fan of his when he played for the Celtics, they called that his fans McHale's Navy. Jerry West, who I believe is the NBA logo silhouette, right?
Correct.
That's Jerry West?
Yes.
James Worthy, I think he was another famous swordsman. So they've released a handful of names, and they will... but think about this. 41 players from the top 50 list from 1996 have made the cut. Imagine you're one of the other 9 people. They could be on a future list. They might still be here or whatever, right? They might end up with all 50 of them and then 25 more. But imagine if the NBA released a list of the 50 greatest basketball players of all time for the 50th anniversary 25 years ago. Flash forward to now, they're doing 75. 9 of those people, imagine if they don't make it to the final list. How would you feel if you were one of those 9 people who didn't? It's not like they cut the list down. It's not like they went from 50 to 20 and you just didn't make the cut. They increased the number of them. They went from 50 to 75.
Well, maybe you're not as good as someone who has come out since that last list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you got to accept
happen.
That.
Mm-hmm. So how do they determine which nine guys got bumped by nine guys from the past 25
years? Well, I don't
think
nine guys will have been bumped. There might be one or two, but I don't think there's going to be nine bumped.
Okay.
But there's been a lot of very good players in the last 25 years.
Booby Gibson.
Well, Kevin Durant, he wasn't in the 50th. He wasn't in the league 25 years ago, right? So Kevin Durant is one of these new guys who comes along. And
Dwayne
Wade. Did you say Booby Gibson?
I might have said Booby Gibson. I had a big crush on him.
He's not top 25 on the team that he was on.
Yeah, right.
He was cute, though.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He's probably coaching or something.
He was little. And, like, little for the NBA. Wasn't he? He was probably
6'1". I did an event.
Tiny.
He was in the Cavs suite. Last Cavs game I went to, we were all in the suite. I'm talking to Booby Gibson. There's no way that guy's short. He might have been short for the league.
He's short for the league.
Comparatively, yeah. He looked little on the court, but then you're like, oh, damn, he's still a large person.
Yeah, was he 7 foot tall.
Was he the one that was married to Keisha Cole?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
He looks like he had eyeliner on, and I liked that. I like that look.
You like the guyliner?
Oh, I love guys.
On basketball players?
On anybody.
On anybody.
Yeah.
So if I came in here, you'll be out tomorrow, but if I came in next week wearing guyliner, first of all, you'd laugh. You wouldn't like that look. You know me. It would look weird.
Damn, Alan.
So
look at you, Silver Fox.
Have to be guyliner on a person you never met.
On anybody.
On anybody. So if I come in wearing guyliner.
People look more. I am attracted to that look. Like I said,
to feminine looking men is your thing.
Not even feminine looking men. In my teen years, very. When I was developing my hormones.
I understand.
My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy,
yeah.
Johnny Depp was Captain Jack Sparrow.
Golden age of guyliner.
Yes. So okay. That's had an effect on me.
Understood.
So now I tend to be like, ooh.
So there's a
smoky eyeshadow on a man?
Smoky eye.
They have to have the kind of the whole look and not just like you can't be like in a 3-piece suit, businessman.
You're wrong.
Haircut, and it's still.
I bet it would be hot. I've never seen that.
You've never seen an executive vampire?
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen someone in a. But I also like the clean cut, like shorter hair. You know what I mean?
I just feel like the guyliner would look really out of place with that look. Like, with the rock star vibe or, you know, pirate vibe, it kind of is part of the motif. But if you, or just like a guy wearing a hoodie.
I don't know. I really like it.
We'll have to try some stuff then.
Is anybody watching The Morning Show on Apple TV?
I've watched like 3 episodes from this season. I'm behind, I think, 2.
There's an actor on that show. He's been in a lot of things. His name's Nestor Carbonell. He's a good actor. He was in The Dark Knight. I think he might have been like the mayor or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he's this actor who everybody thinks is always wearing eyeliner. But his eyes are... He's constantly said...
Nestor
Carbonell, yeah. He's like... My eyes just look like they have guyliner on them, but I just have very dark eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like he's always wearing mascara or guyliner.
That's a good look. And he's pretty clean. I mean, he's just in a jacket.
He's a good looking dude.
Yeah, he's very good looking.
But he's been around for a long time. He was on Suddenly Susan back in the day.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I was going to say he looks, I'm trying to figure out.
He does look
Dark
like he's
Knight.
Wearing, yeah, he was the mayor in Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
There you go.
I was like, I know, I've seen this guy before.
And I got to tell you, you're lucky, quite frankly, that you've got something nostalgic like that. Because I couldn't go back to when I was a teenager and go, God, that look makes me hot. The blown out Aquanet hair.
The 80s shoulder
I'm class
pads.
Of 89, yes. There's nothing about that that gets me hot. You know, when people are like that forced nostalgia or that kind of compressed remembrance of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When I see pictures from pictures from when I was in high school, those are pictures of people that other people laugh at.
Yes.
No one has affinity for that now. Even people who grew up in that don't have affinity for it.
The clothes that girls would wear back then.
They're all awful.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
great.
I'm more of a kid of the 90s, so it was more of the Pam Anderson look. So that look is burned into my psyche. Is like, that's the hottest way you can look.
I mean, I did kind of like the Elaine Bennis vibe for a little while.
Yeah.
Like the boots and the stockings and the skirts and the, you know, that's not a bad look.
Chris Porter is a
but
comedian.
But solid 80s look. There's nothing about that I look and go, oh man, high school
off the
was
shoulder
great.
Stuff was real good.
That's cute. And
well,
that's
also,
have a comeback.
I also went to Catholic school, so I didn't have to contend with girls wearing different things every day. They wore a uniform.
But
I lived through the decade. I saw people. I mean,
but it's not just what you saw. I mean, this is more stuff that the media is presenting to you than
the media.
Like what you're seeing on MTV and stuff like that is what you are consuming. Not the girls that you see every day. Like Mary wasn't going to high school with Fallout Boy.
No, but
there were boys who looked like that, though.
I didn't.
I'm saying, but they were based off of those ideas.
But you probably knew guys. I mean, listen, art imitates life and vice versa, right? So once that got to be a thing, regular dudes were
just like
were experimenting with guyliner. We didn't have cable growing up, so I didn't watch MTV.
Yeah.
So I knew, but everybody was dressing. Like they were in the 80s, because we were in the 80s.
Like, ooh, Connie Chung, she gets it done.
Chris Porter is a very funny comedian, has a bit about this exact same thing where he's like, I grew up in the 80s. He's like, did you see people in the 80s? He's like, if I dragged the hottest chick from 1985 in here, everyone would be like, get that meth head out of here.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, nobody looked good. Like that tease out, you just look unkept. With your clothes like baggy and hanging off you, and your hair's all huge.
You didn't at the time because that's how everyone looked.
Right.
So, like, the goth girls were the ones that, like, didn't put anything in their hair. And yeah, but everybody just thought they woke up late or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so.
Yeah, no guy.
To have a nostalgic affinity for guyliner, mazel tov. Because I don't see, like, you know, retro social media accounts. I go, oh, man, that's hot.
It's probably why I like Emo Night so much. And everybody's got swoopy hair and tight
swoopy
black
hair,
clothes.
Yeah.
And
bangs over their eyes.
Yeah.
You get to Mary's a sucker for that.
The later 90s, one look that I am seeing coming back is the low-rise jeans with the thong.
The whale
the
tail.
Whale tail.
Whale
Man,
tail.
That was the best thing you'd ever seen when you're in high school. You're just like, oh my God, that's her underwear. Her button.
It's what she wears under her overwear.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just crazy. Like, you're like, that girl's wearing a thong. She must be having sex.
So you must love all these Robert Pattinson Batman photos then, because Batman has to have the black makeup around his eyes to make the cowl work.
Mm-hmm.
So all those actors had it. But
yeah. I mean, like I said, doesn't matter. If you look like you have eyeliner on or you are wearing eyeliner, you jump up a point or two for me.
Huh. Okay. Well, we're all going
to
come in.
Come to your show now with guyliner on.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, I heard you like guyliner. Things still working out with your garbage man?
Yeah.
He was in a band. I told him, I was like, you ever wear makeup?
He's like, your crowd looks like a sea of really sleepy dudes.
Right.
WMMS.
Alan, the wind is going to be a factor tonight at the game. Absolutely. I just hope fans don't make any unnecessary journeys or take risks down treacherous roads. Remember that lady?
Don't make unnecessary journeys. Don't take risks on treacherous roads. Don't make unnecessary journeys. Don't take risks on treacherous roads. People have been spotted in the water both today and yesterday. Their actions are for the town of Cross Malina.
Saddest thing about this is this lady, one season later, was washed away in a storm. Never to be found again.
She didn't stay afloat?
In the sea. No, she didn't take the advice of one Al Roker.
That is my S word for poop. That is my song.
Your S word? Don't make unnecessary journeys?
That song is good. You should play that at the thing tonight. Just have everybody dance to it.
It's a banger.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it with Hot Nuts.
This might surprise you, Bill, when I do the Cox Outs. I am not the DJ.
What?
You can tell the DJ what to do. It's the Cox Out pregame.
True.
He's your DJ.
I am the host.
Who's DJing?
I don't know. It's usually Jeff Tritt. I know Mattitude was there on Sunday. He wasn't spinning, but I was talking to him for a little bit, so he might have been like next up, you know, because they run like a series of dudes because they're open all day. So I don't know who'll be there tonight, but I don't tell the DJ what to do.
Let them do their job.
No, that's their gig. I mean, they got drunk girls coming up to catch a fight.
Yeah,
you don't need that. Nope. I get on the mic. I say hi to everybody, and I mingle and whatever, and you know, play the good host. But I don't. I let the DJ do his thing. That's his domain, and I do my thing, and he does his. That said. Maybe I'll bring a copy of Hot Nuts and see if I can get the place bouncing off.
In what way are you going to bring a copy?
Burn it on a CD.
You know what? I'm going to bring.
Can you play this?
I'm going to bring a thumb drive. I'm going to bring a thumb drive.
Floppy
Hot Nuts.
Disk.
Floppy disk. We got Hot Nuts for you. Oh, do you? Alan, what about Jack Black in Guyliner for Mary?
No. I hate him.
So, not anybody.
He might look more attractive, but it doesn't change my hatred for him.
Hatred?
Did you see what someone tweeted at me?
That escalated quickly.
It was, I don't like Jack Black. It was Jack
but
Black.
But hatred?
Yes.
Hatred.
Hatred.
There's a lot of actors I don't care for their work. They're not my favorite.
I can't stand this guy.
Wow.
Jack Black, we were talking about the SNL intros for hosts introducing musical acts. Someone tweeted a video of Jack Black introducing John Mayer as John Mayer. Just one more reason why that guy can scoot off the planet.
Huh. Scoot right off the planet.
Scoot off, eh?
Get out of here.
John Mayer.
Yeah. Okay.
And but he makes his face
like, ooh.
He's like, oh, I messed that one up.
Oh, no.
But they do promos for the coming week. They go, hey, I'm Jack Black with musical guest John Mayer.
You
we're going to be.
Think.
Wow.
That's well, why I hate this
you
guy.
You do that, but he just messed up. He had a little brain fart.
John Mayer.
I've had that when I'm introducing someone and I either forget their name or completely
say it wrong.
Yeah. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Still. Name. Yeah.
My least favorite person introducing my favorite person. Wrong? Come on.
Jack Black, and I'm hosting the season premiere of Saturday Night Live with John Mayer, so do you think my body is a wonderland?
Not particularly.
Come on, you know it is.
I hate him.
Yeah, all right. God, October of 2003.
It's prime John Mayer.
Wow. That's prime Jack Black. 2003 was prime. He is 18 years past his prime, according to you, a guy that you love. Is 18 years past his prime.
I never said he was past his prime.
You said that was prime John Mayer.
He's been in his prime
for 18 years. Wow, this guy's got a prime. Good for him.
I love him.
John Mayer has got a hell
Stop.
Of a prime. Man.
Where's that? Oh, because it's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's on my Twitter. I retweeted it. I
was going to say, this might surprise you. I don't see all of your tweets.
Would you like me to tag you in it so that way it shows up?
No, it's okay.
You know what?
Let me go to your tweets, and then I'll see it, and somebody sent it to you.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I retweeted it with angry David. There he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Mayer!
And then he makes that face afterward. He's like,
John Mayer! Oh, that's the best. Take that and stick it in your pipe.
He immediately knows he messed up.
Yeah.
This is him promoting the movie Shallow Hal, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I did watch that movie.
That movie's funny.
I didn't
know.
No,
it's not.
I liked it. I thought it was very funny. And
I kind of liked it, too.
Jason Alexander in that movie is very funny.
Yeah. Do you have a tail in that? Or he dated someone with a tail?
He had a tail.
Yeah. Him, I still didn't like him, but I did enjoy that movie, kind of.
Mm.
I don't know what Jack Black could do to get in my good graces.
That's what we should find out.
I don't think he cares, to be honest with you, but...
He might. Because why wouldn't he? You know, there might be a lot of people, he's been doing it for a long time, and I bet he wouldn't care if somebody's like, oh, Jack Black's not my favorite, I'm not into the D, I don't really it's amazing, I don't really like a lot of his work. But if he found out, there's someone who hates you, there's someone who said publicly, anybody in Guyliner... throws him up a notch, except you. Specifically you were mentioned. And she said, no, there's nothing he could do to improve his standing in my eyes. Now, you're right. He might not care. But he also might.
I can't even think of a scenario that I'd be like, okay. Because I'm sure he does charity work and stuff like that, which is fine.
What if he sang to you?
Yeah, it's just fine.
What if he said,
Mary Santora, you can go. Stop. He's not a good singer.
He's a great singer.
He's an awful
He's an incredible singer.
When he sings, he's good. When he tries,
I've never heard him like actually sing. I've heard like Tenacious D.
But you've seen, well, he's a good singer in that. Have you seen High Fidelity? You've seen High Fidelity.
She's never seen High Fidelity.
Oh, okay.
Which is a lot of people's introduction to Jack Black, and he was a charming side character in that movie. You know, he's supposed to be annoying in that movie.
I've never seen
it. But he's funny.
Kathleen Turner Overdrive. Hold on to this feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel shit. Wow, come on. Let's get it on.
Because the joke at the end of High Fidelity is everybody thinks he's just a jackass and he can actually sing. And mm-hmm. So everybody's blown away that he actually has some ability. Everybody except Mary Santora, who, if she were in the crowd there at the late, great, legendary Double Door in Chicago, Illinois, would not be moved. She wouldn't be moved to dance. She wouldn't even be compelled to sway her hips.
No.
She wouldn't be compelled to quietly search for the hand of her lover.
Nope.
In the crowd, nothing would move you to enjoy the vocal stylings of one Jackson Hamilton Black. I don't know if that's his name, but that's what I'm going to go with.
What did they settle on with a name? Because they say, we were going to be Kathleen Turner Overdrive. I think it was Barry Jive in the Uptown Five or something like that.
Yeah. Sarah Gilbert was in that movie, too. Yeah. Forget about that.
That's a great movie. I love that
movie.
High
Fidelity. Very different than the book, but I love the movie.
We're glad you called us for information about masturbation. It's a subject many people feel uncomfortable with and don't talk about.
Call the Alan Cox Show, 216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
We're going to have Terry the Goat's Week 7 picks later on in the show. Comedian Kevin Bozeman is back in town to do hilarities, too. He's very funny. Haven't had him in a bit. So around 420, we'll get to him. Next week on the show, our friend Roy Wood Jr. is going to be talking about his new stand-up hour, which is premiering on Comedy Central. And you're here next Friday, right?
Next Friday.
The 29th?
I am. That's the day after what would have been my dad's birthday. So
you're going to take Thursday off,
uh-huh.
But you're going to be here on Friday.
Yes.
Well, you know who else is going to be here on Friday?
Who?
Wes Scantlin from Puddle of Mud. Is going to be in here to talk about their show.
He's going
to
be
in here to play some music and talk about the show. At the Puddle of Mud's playing the Odeon next Friday night. And he's going to be in here on the show on Friday afternoon. And we're going to talk to him about the Nirvana cover.
Are you actually going to ask him about that?
How can I not?
I don't know. It seems kind of mean.
It's not mean. I didn't tell him to sing the song. He sang the song.
And we've heard other versions of it where he sang it well.
I'm curious. I don't want to break his balls. Yeah. I want the story behind it.
Okay.
Puddle of Mud has a lot of hits. People give them a hard time because in the early aughts, I haven't talked to Wes Scantlin in 20 years, but they were kind of swept up in that whole Limp Bizkit stained thing.
I like them.
Early aughts, but they have a lot of hits. So they're in town to do a show at the Odeon next Friday night. And they said, you want Wes Scantlin? I said, yes, I want Wes Scantlin. Because I want him to sing this live for Mary.
He's in his head to this poor guy. Head to hand. Oh, God.
Thank you for this too. I do. But you have a clue.
I'm going to have him serenade you with that song.
Don't, because I'm not good at hiding expressions.
And hiding what?
I will grimace.
No, because he'll sing it like an angel. He'll sing it here like an angel, and then that will supplant that version in your head, and then you'll just have to, you know.
Here's the thing. I am a big fan of Puddle of Mud.
Don't backtrack.
No. I like their songs. That is awful. Whatever that was really, really bad. But I do enjoy
their
songs.
So that'll be next Friday.
She effing hates me.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Alan, please ask Pound Cake if you'd like to go see Michael Bublé tonight at the Romo Fijo because I have tickets.
Ooh, he's on the phone, but I think he's going to want to know that.
Mm.
With who?
They didn't say. They just said that they have tickets. It might not be with who. It might be they want to know if you want to buy tickets from them.
Well, I don't want to buy them. And
no, if you want to give tickets to Pound Cake to go see Michael Bublé.
Well, I'm strapped for cash. I'm trying to save my ducats for Mexico. I don't.
What are you yelling at me for? I'm just passing along the information.
They take pesos.
Pesos. Yeah, they don't take ducats.
Yep, 5 million pesos to get you this Michael Bublé concert.
He's like, if you want to give me the tickets for free and not come, then yes, I will go.
You know, Michael Bublé was almost John Krasinski. He was in a serious relationship. He was engaged to Emily Blunt for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Before John Krasinski scooped her up.
Michael Bublé is very good looking. He is one of those, like, nice guys where you, like, oh, you ignored him in high school and now he's, like, got his shrimp together and mom's like, see, you passed up on that guy. Should have married him.
Yeah, but I thought he had some... He had something going on, right? Like he's in recovery or something?
No.
Really? I thought that he was.
Nah, he's been married for a really long time.
He's a dual citizen of Canada and Italy. All right. Well, I guess he's been engaged a couple of times, but I know Emily Blunt was one of them. Maybe I'm thinking of like his kid got real sick.
Maybe.
Yeah, when he and his wife had like a boy years ago, and the kid got really sick. Hmm. All right, well, you don't want to go see this guy do his thing?
No.
I couldn't sit through a whole show of that. I mean, it's... I find Michael Bublé, he's undeniably talented, but I find him to be... I don't know.
He's very vanilla.
Doesn't he do a lot of?
I mean, that's okay
now, too.
There's. Well, I think anybody. Here's the thing. Anybody who does this kind of music, who does standards, you end up doing a ton of covers.
Yeah.
Because the people who like that kind of music want to hear those old songs.
What is standards?
He's like the new Tony Bennett.
Well, he's the new Harry Connick Jr.
There, yeah.
Every decade and a half, there's a Harry Connick Jr., a guy that comes along and sings 40-year-old songs. Everybody goes, oh my God, that's amazing. But they're doing Sinatra.
But now they're 70-year-old songs.
Now they're 70. Right, that's right.
If he's doing 40-year-old songs, he's singing Bon Jovi.
Well, sorry. Harry Connick Jr. was doing 40-year-old songs. Right. We're halfway there. Whoa!
My friend.
It's my life. Bon Jovi's they're on their way to being this anyway.
That's more of a Richard Cheese thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends, she tweeted last December, just harmless, and she's got like 100 followers on Twitter. She's not like some personality or anything like that. But she tweeted and she was like, I wonder what Michael Bublé fans do the other 24 months of the year. And I guess she got ripped apart by Michael Bublé fans.
Oh, because he just does Christmas shows?
Well, because he'll put out like Christmas albums and like he's on. If you can't turn on a Christmas station without hearing Michael Bublé.
Right. He has Christmas specials everywhere.
Yeah. And I guess like his fans went in on her and was like, he's talented all year long, blah, blah, blah. I'm like freaking out. And she's like, I did not expect to get dragged by the Michael Bublé.
I did the same thing.
I don't recall any Michael Bublé summer tours, by the way.
I made the mistake of I was watching the VMAs and Ed Sheeran won over Taylor Swift for like an award. And Taylor Swift like made this big like scene, like hugging him, like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. I was like, oh my gosh, Taylor Swift is such an ass kisser. Like, she's such an attention seeking ass bitch. And I tweeted it. Swifties.
They came after
the Swifties.
But you know about the Swifties. Like, yes. You know the Swifties are out there.
I didn't
you know about
her.
The Bay Hive. It doesn't matter.
She didn't know about her. She didn't know about the bubbleheads.
Yeah, right. The bubbleheads.
Oh my God!
Tub bubbles are wet.
You would have thought that I would have my house raided. Like, these people dragged me through for filth. Like, I was like, oh my God! They're like, there ain't nothing wrong for being happy for a friend. I'm like, Jesus!
It's a parasocial relationship, and a lot of people have them with celebrities.
They got me.
Yeah, yeah. And the Michael Bublé fans are the women are arguably more terrifying than the Swifties.
The Bubladies.
The Bubladies.
There you go.
Because they're the ones screaming at school board meetings about tyranny and their children. Alan, here's a would you rather from Mary. Would you rather sit in front row at a show and listen to Wes Scantlin do that song that way, or just have Jack Black standing on stage not saying or doing anything? He's just there. He's just standing there.
So wait, is it just is it Wes Scantlin doing that exact version on loop, or is it one time and then I get a rest of a concert?
They weren't that specific.
But we'll say
on a loop.
On a loop.
Oh my God. I have to on a loop. Okay, at least Jack Black's not talking.
Hmm.
Although looking at him might make me mad.
Alan, Mary just said the other 24 months. How many months does she think is in a year?
What an idiot.
Well, we all missed it.
I didn't get it either. Yeah. I knew what you meant.
I was thinking...
Our brains were filling in the gaps.
I was thinking 25 days of Christmas.
Right.
And like 25
I think we
days.
All were.
The other 11 months. Good catch.
Well, she's into astrology. It's a whole different thing. Whatever. She goes by the Chinese calendar.
That's different. What a dummy.
Alan, I want a pound cake to be my plus one for free. I won tickets to the show from you guys. You didn't win no Michael Bublé tickets from me. You won from another radio station, and you want to take pound cake.
Probably the late.
Hey, it's Big Hair Wednesday. We're giving away Michael Bublé.
Email me what you look like.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because I want to know who I'm going with.
Why do you care?
If somebody ugly
had a ticket to a show you wanted to go to, what do you care?
Is that about if it's a girl or a guy, or if they look cute or look ugly? I want to know who I'm going to a concert with, because I just do.
Why?
I would do.
So you can identify them in the crowd?
But you won't be looking at them.
No, you'll be looking at the guy on the stage that you went to go see.
I would rather know who I'm going with than not.
I'm with Poundcake on this.
What do you mean? Give me their Facebook page.
Who wouldn't want to know who they're going with?
That's, I don't know who I'm going with.
He made
with,
it sound like he goes, email me a picture of what you look like, but, was what he said.
When they email me, I'll have their
not,
email address.
Are you a cool guy?
No, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl.
All right.
Damn.
So you want to, I'm just saying, the way you said it, it made it, and knowing you as we do.
And I said, I don't care if they're a guy or a girl, if they're good looking or ugly.
Okay.
I want to know who I'm going to a concert with. I don't think that's an unreasonable request.
I agree.
Just go to a concert with strangers. I might not like the person. Maybe they look like they got a punchable face. I don't know.
All I'm saying is they're just leaving a ticket for you. You're not going to dinner afterwards.
But I have to sit next
to you. Having a drink. Yeah, so what? Most concerts, you're sitting next to somebody you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay, well, then I guess I'm being difficult. I'm being a diva.
Well, you do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying I didn't understand where you were getting at.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Most shows, you don't know the person next to you, whether you're on the floor at a club or
but
up in the stands.
I didn't get a ticket from that person, and I would maybe I want to be.
And also, if they won them from one of our stations, they're going to be way up there. So they might be alone.
And maybe I want to get.
Don't bump your head on the beams of the building.
Maybe I want to thank them and buy them a drink afterwards. I don't know.
I think you know. You said you're saving up all your ducats for your trip to La Isla Mujeres.
I could spare $9.
Mm.
That's a two and a half White Claws.
All right. two and a half White Claws, not at the Romo Fijo.
You get a White Claw.
Yeah, $9, you're almost to one White Claw.
Almost to one White Claw.
They're like 10, 11 bucks.
Well, they texted back. Alan, I met you at the 10th anniversary show party at the bar in Parma. We weren't in Parma
we're
for
in
that.
Strongsville.
Yeah. I'm looking for a picture. Tell Poundcake I am a fag hag.
Okay.
What the hell is that? I know what that means, but what does she mean by it?
She's a girl who likes gays.
No, I understand what that means. What does that have to do with anything?
So I would feel
She'll
comfortable,
be cool.
I'm guessing.
Is that going to make you feel comfortable? I imagine there's a lot of girls like that who are crazy annoying.
Just email.
Straight dudes don't want to hang out with them.
Poundcake at alancoxshow.com.
There you go. Poundcake at alancoxshow.com. And you've never been on a blind date, right?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh. You mean they were blind or?
No, I've been on a couple blind dates.
What if this girl ends up being, you won't have to wait until Mexico.
Yes, Cody.
What if
no.
you guys are so swept up in the magic and the majesty of one Michael Bublé that you both become Bubladies right there on the spot? And then you go, screw it. Caution to the wind, right? It's a Thursday night. That wind is only 11 miles per hour northeast.
It could take
you go,
caution. all your caution.
You say, let's go out and get a couple of drinks. What a great show. And you get to know each other, and one thing leads to another, and it's no different. It's no different than a straight guy and a straight girl going out and having some drinks, getting inebriated, and inhibitions go the way they will, and you end up inside a boob lady.
Here's what it is. He's going to be late because he's coming from the show. And as he walks in to find his seat, two White Claws in hand, Michael Bublé is singing, I Just Haven't Met You Yet.
Right, there you go.
And then he's like, and then he locks eyes and he's like, oh, yes, this is it. Cody, can't you see a montage of Cody trying to catch an Uber and, splashing water as he runs past? Yes.
This song is about somebody he hasn't met yet.
He's shaking out his umbrella.
Yeah,
and he brings
like
it down.
Waiting.
And then he's like, wait a second.
This song's about being ready to fall in love, but he just hasn't met the person yet. That's what I was going to say. He gets splashed by a car.
And
it's raining.
Was her.
No, she's inside waiting.
No. He gets splashed by her. And he's like, bleh, and then they find, like, because they're a little, they don't like each other at first.
Yeah.
A little standoffish. And a big gust of wind comes by and it inverts his umbrella, turns it inside out, rendering it unusable.
Yes.
Throws it in the nearest trash can. She walks up, huge umbrella, stands next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Shelters
are you going
both
into the
of them.
Concert? I am. I'm meeting somebody.
What seat are you in? I'm in 2056.
F. I'm in 2056.
G. Whatever. Yeah. E. Oh my God, that's me. Oh, we've really created an amazing night for you.
And you don't want to sleep with her. That's
wow.
So rude of you.
What is?
I'm sure this would be the finale, anyways. This is like his most known song.
Yeah.
I like somebody who opens with their best known song and they go, that's right.
You ever been to a Garth Brooks concert?
Right. Well, he's got a lot of good, well-known songs, though.
He says that when he comes in, or at least the last time I saw him here, when he played like 8 shows at Romo Field or whatever it was, and they were all
sold
out.
That's a damn near residency.
Dude, he did. He sold them all out, and he was like, just
so
you know.
He's the highest-selling artist, like, ever.
He was like, just so you know, you're only getting hits. He's like, I'm going to play 3.5 hours of all of my hits, no deep tracks, no nothing like that, because I know what you came to hear.
Well, not only that, but that's great when you have all
hits. 3.5 hours of hits. Right. Yeah. Most people have 4 hits, and then you got to kind of fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
He did a club a couple years ago. He did that club tour, and GAR was giving away tickets.
I think it was last year, Dusty Armadillo.
I'd rather go to the Funky Armadillo, quite frankly. It's Parliament and Garth Brooks.
But let's be honest. Where are the bodies, Garth?
What?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay, I won't. Yeah, Garth Brooks. Yeah, if you can get up there and go, I'm playing all these hits that
well,
you love.
Like, screw
it's
it.
3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. And well, he had Trisha Yearwood come out.
I was
going to
say, even with hits,
stuff,
that's too long. It's too long of a show.
But his late shows, he played like 4 hours. Because he was doing 2 shows a night at the friggin' arena. And I don't remember if it was 4 or 8. I know it was at least 4. I know he sold out at least 2 nights in a row with 2 shows each night. But
and you have to imagine some of those people are going to multiple shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Imagine, like, you know how annoying it is when you have to flip a room in a comedy club?
That's what I was going to say.
You have to flip an arena.
What is it, like, 40,000? How many people?
It's like 20,000. 20,000. Yeah,
20,000.
Like, hey, got it. We got another show. We got to get 20,000 more people in here. In
and
like
they,
20 minutes.
They had people. He had one of the circular stages. It was toward the back of the arena, but they didn't block off any section. They sat the entire arena.
Yeah, of course. Sell every single ticket. Mm-hmm. People sitting behind the post.
That's where we sat.
Yeah.
We weren't behind the post, but we were kind of like behind where he was normally playing. So he came to that side of the stage a few times. But yeah, it was
and because
a
he was only
show.
Doing hits, he didn't have to sit through any Chris Gaines music.
Right.
That is insane. The First Energy Stadium, he's just like, I'm just going to do 8 dates there and sell them all out.
I know it was at least 4 shows. I know it was at least 2 dates.
This was at Romo Fijo, though.
This was at Romo Fijo, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it was First Energy.
No.
I was going to be like,
damn. He didn't do that. I mean, he did like an entire college stadium tour where it was, you know, 100,000-seat venues, and he sells them all out. He sells more tickets than anybody.
It's crazy.
Good for him.
Well, okay.
But where are the bodies?
Okay.
Listen, when country music. You told me not to worry about it.
Yeah, quit saying it.
I'm asking Garth.
I'm not asking you guys.
When Garth Brooks started to break guitars on stage, that ushered in the whole bro country thing. That was the beginning of all of it.
He's not bro country.
No, but when he started breaking guitars on stage, that's what started
Those guys don't do that.
Pop. No, but I'm saying that put like a rock and roll vibe into country music, which up to then you had like Alan Jackson and Travis Tritt. Mm-hmm. And
Travis Tritt.
Right. Travis Tritt's in the news for something. Tritt was in the news because he was another guy that was not going to do shows at venues that required vaccination. And there are all these people like, there's a real person named Travis Tritt? Because he's kind of that older guard of 80s, 90s country artists.
People thought it was a fake name.
Well, there's, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're of a certain age where you've never heard of him before, you're not going to know, you know, Travis Tritt. But,
he's a goofy looking dude, too.
Yeah.
He's got the long hair, but it's like super thin on top now.
Alan, dumbass Garth Brooks fans are the only types of morons who would only want to hear hits. That's somebody who really doesn't like Garth Brooks.
And who doesn't want to hear hits? Right. Everyone wants to hear hits.
That's what made you so popular.
Even your favorite band in the world, no matter who it is, nobody wants to hear a lot of B-sides. Right? They're your favorite band because of the songs you love. And there might be a couple songs. Everybody's got a couple songs of their favorite artist that like other fans of that artist aren't that into.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't go there to hear the B-sides.
Right.
I mean, Springsteen's playing Rosalita, Born in the USA.
I mean, it's cool.
Tell you what, though. If I go see Springsteen and he doesn't play Santa Claus is Coming to Town, I'm going to be pissed.
His biggest hit.
That's what put him on the map.
Yeah, right.
There are some songs where it's a nice little like gem when they throw in your favorite deep cut. We're like, oh, and like you're the only one excited about it, or you and 25 other people are really happy about it.
Yep.
But I mean, I've talked about how much I love John Mayer. I have a playlist on my phone of my favorite John Mayer songs, and it's only like 40 songs. So it's like...
Only 40 songs.
But I'm saying I'm not putting his albums just on shuffle and listening to all of it. I pick my 40 favorite off of all of them, and a lot of them are hits. And
right.
This is what I want to hear.
Right.
But again, he's not a guy that has like... He's got a couple radio hits, but most of it is just stuff that you like because you... listen to John Mayer a lot.
Probably, yeah.
So it's like one of those things, like, there are songs that stand out on the albums, and they become, you know, the single, if you'll...
Yeah.
But they're not, I mean, he really...
They're not Garth Brooks hits.
Only had a few, like, big radio hits in his prime in 2003.
Shut up.
Alan, my husband wanted The Dance as our wedding song, and I was like, isn't that a sad song?
Yes.
That's the trouble with country music, is it's inherently sad. And so you're kind of like, even if it's sounds kind of upbeat, it's usually about somebody dying or getting lost or kidnapped.
I mean, that's a lot of pop music anyway.
Pop like, music getting lost and killed?
Well, I mean, like a lot of pop rock and a lot of songs are, even if they sound like they're happy songs, hey, yeah, is like everyone can dance that song, but it's a sad song.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And I think I was in like 9th or 10th grade. I made my boyfriend a mix CD for his birthday. And I put Burn by Usher on it, which is basically about, like, hey, this relationship's over. And,
and I have herpes.
And I, yeah, you also, you're probably burning down there.
Burn.
But, like, he listened to it, and I didn't listen to the lyrics when I was 15 years old. I just was like, oh, this is a slow song by Usher. It must be a love song.
Mm-hmm.
And he was listening to it, and he looked at me, he's like, is there something you want to tell me? Like, why would you put this song on here? And I was like, it's like a nice song. He goes, this is about breaking up. Like, what are you talking
about?
This
is supposed to be a sexy song.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, now that you mention it, yes, there is something I want to tell you. We're breaking up.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right here.
We're gonna let it burn.
I mean, it's all how you interpret it.
Crotch is gonna burn.
Right.
Yep. Bill is 100% correct. Where are the bodies, Garth?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Is Garth Brooks, does he look like a killer?
Or what?
We're just trying to figure out where the bodies are.
Don't do this. Tell me what it is.
It's a bit from your mom's house podcast.
Oh.
Cool. Anyway.
Don't do that.
Alan, there's a younger audience who also don't know what B-sides are. Yeah, that's true.
Deep cut.
That's the, yeah.
Prepare yourself. Act natural. No matter how stronger your monkey reflexes might kick in, telling you to flee from terror. Now, I'll go see if he's ready.
Show is back. It's the Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7
WMMS.
I forgot Poundcake had to get a winner. I was going to ask him who this is. We were going to play Is This Skinner? Of course, it is Lynyrd Skynyrd. It was 44 years ago yesterday that that plane crashed and killed six people in Florida and Alabama. Somewhere. Louisiana. This album had come out 3 days prior. If you're a Skynyrd fan, you remember Street Survivors. The original album cover, they changed the album cover after the crash because the original album cover had the band surrounded by flames. And then six of them died on the plane. 23 of them lived. There were a lot of people on that plane. Went down in the trees.
That's why people are so negative. They're never talking about the people that survived the crash, just the ones that died in the crash.
It's like that Andrea Doria episode of Seinfeld where he finds out that most of the people, 38 people died and 1,200 survivors. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
how many survivors were there? 1,200.
But Ronnie Van Zant, who was this was the last album. This was their fifth, and it was the last album that would have the original members. So Ronnie Van Zant died, who was the front man. Their guitar, Steve Gaines, died. Cassie Gaines died. His older sister, who was part of the band, they had a road manager who died. The pilot and the co-pilot died. But a bunch of the other guys got out of the plane or got pulled from the plane by people that lived nearby.
I looked out my window. I was in the middle of the airplane on the right wing. I tried to get close to the back of the airplane as possible. But I got in the middle of the airplane on the right wing, and all I saw was treetops. And at first it wasn't so bad, but then when it hit the middle of the trees, it was horrible. Yeah, it's an experience nobody wants to ever experience.
Pianist Billy Powell, drummer Artemis Pyle, and another passenger managed to climb through a window and go for help. Neighbors who'd heard the crash were among the first rescue workers to arrive.
We walked through the woods to the site, and at that time there was nobody on the site. Well, we started getting them out then, getting the ones that were hurt out, and everybody's out too.
Under the glare of helicopter floodlights, the 23 victims were pulled one by one from the wreckage, placed on stretchers, and carried 100 yards through dense woods and across a creek to waiting ambulances.
I don't know how many of those guys are still alive. I think Artemis Pyle is still alive. A lot of them aren't with the band anymore. I think Skynyrd was going to do a thing this past summer, and they had to cancel because of COVID or somebody got sick. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2006 by... Who do you think inducted Skynyrd into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
In 2006, Kid Rock.
Did you know that, or are you guessing?
I guess.
Kid Rock. I would have never guessed Kid Rock.
It was the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, that was a good guess, boy. That's exactly
really
who it was.
Smart.
By the way, speaking of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we are giving away tickets for you to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which is a week from this Saturday. It's only a few days away. They're moving it from Public Hall to the Romo Fijo. Foo Fighters are getting inducted, and Tina Turner, who I don't think is expected to attend. Paul McCartney will induct the Foo Fighters. Drew Barrymore is going to induct the Go-Go's. Jay-Z is getting inducted. Angela Bassett will be there to induct Tina Turner. Even if the artist isn't there, it's awesome to see the montage of the performances. And, you know, maybe she'll... there's differing reports on what kind of health Tina Turner is in. I don't think it's good. But I don't know if she's in the... You know, she could be in the kind of shape to just record a video I don't think she's at death's door, but...
Well, I watched her documentary, and it was just called Tina, and she had several strokes, like, before that.
What, did they recently do that?
So there was, she had the What's Love Got to Do With It, and then she had hers, which I believe was produced by her husband.
Okay.
And that was on Hulu.
Okay.
So her husband...
That's worth watching, that's good?
I watched it when I was in Portland, so my white roommates, they were like, what are you watching? And they're like, let's go on a hike. I'm like, I was watching.
What do you mean your white roommates? People know who Tina Turner is.
They knew who it was, but they were like, she's some old lady. Why are you watching? Why are you watching this?
And so old. Yeah, no, I understand, but I didn't know.
They were just.
So you were watching a Tina Turner documentary in the middle of the day.
It was like at night. And then it was a series because it was like Tina in like 8 parts. So I got through the first episode while they were sleeping, and then
they go, "Why are you watching a documentary about some old lady?"
Yeah, really? Because they're like, "Why is all the footage in black and white? What are you watching?" I'm like, "It's Tina," and they're like, "Tina?" I'm like, "Tina Turner." They're like, "So why are you watching
Timmy Turner?" Timmy Turner from Fairly Odd Parents.
They're like, "Why?"
Did they know who Tina Turner was?
They did, but they don't know like her music.
Guys, Anna Bullock, duh. Wow. Okay.
They were like, so like not into it, and
I get
like,
it. Well, I fully understand not being into Tina Turner.
So I
was curious if they even knew who she was.
They knew who she was, but they didn't. We didn't get to watch the whole thing. It was like, I was like, I really want to see this. They're like, so it's literally about someone beating their wife. I'm like, it's not about him beating her wife. Like, I was so mad.
That's just part of it.
That's just part of it. This could have been a Lifetime movie.
Put some respect on her.
6 or 8 episodes.
Yeah, put some respect on her name. They were so like disrespectful.
Oh boy.
But yeah, I was watching it while I was on vacation, so I didn't get to finish it because I don't have Hulu.
Okay,
well then you don't know how it ends. I entered the employee Squid Game to get tickets.
Did you?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we're giving away
one pair
of tickets for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction here at iHeartMedia Cleveland. Hey, listen, you got a pretty good shot, I guess. I mean, I guess it's not confined to people who are here physically here, but.
No, I mean,
probably everybody and their brother entered into that, yeah.
Did you enter, Poundcake?
No.
Am I boring you? Are you all right?
He asked me while I was yawning, and I responded.
Why wouldn't you wait to finish your yawn and then turn your microphone on?
I don't know.
Never occurred to him.
You know what? Feel free to keep the raw authenticity on the Pound Take podcast, all right? For gems like Swalloween Spooktaki. When you're here at your paying job, perhaps you could wait to yawn.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. After hours line here at the show, for anybody who just wants to drop a quick message, can always leave a message there. 216-986-8903.
Hey, Alan, I just had to turn the show off because I'm sick and tired of always hearing that Pound Cake wants to say he's gay, yet he wants to have sex with a female. No true gay man wants to have sex with a female. Being gay myself, I can tell you that for a fact. We don't want to touch a female down there. The thought of male-female sex makes us sick. The fact that he wants to have sex with a female means he's bisexual, not gay. So how about making that specific point and start having him show who he really is instead of trying to tell us, I'm gay, but I want to have sex with a woman. No, you're a bisexual. Quit calling yourself gay.
Pound Cake brings out the cattiness in the gay dudes, boy. They just
your own team.
They get all mad at him. I fully understand you being curious about it. That doesn't make you a not gay man.
No, Alan, I'm bi. I'm bi. I'm bi.
But again, I'm not going to speak for you, but to that guy's point, it would be different if you were like having sex with women.
Like all the time.
All the time. You're saying, I'm curious about it.
I
understand
and
that.
And doing it as like a bit almost. Like, hey, I'm going to turn 30. Threesome. I want to at least say I had sex with a girl once before I turned 30.
Well, he didn't care about no gold star status.
I put that as like my foundation, I guess. I said 30 because I thought it would be a good milestone. But I said I just wanted to, I don't think I could go to the grave without trying to grow at least once.
To the grave.
You're going to die at 35.
Right.
So.
Well, that's true.
So, I mean...
Most people like to wait till they were 70 to do this.
If that makes me bisexual, then fine. But I'm also not a good gay either.
But why do you rile up the gay dudes? I think part of it is that some of these guys are like, we've been waiting a long time to have some local mainstream media
representation,
and this is the guy we get.
Sorry, Michael Estime left. He didn't like you guys, so he left.
Well, but he wasn't on television talking about how he wanted to have sex with a woman. He's telling you how hot it was going to be tomorrow. I was going to say, he's telling you how hot it was going to be tomorrow. He's doing the weather. I mean, yeah, so he wasn't talking about his personal life.
He was pretty hot.
He looked exactly like you. That's why you think he's hot.
No. But, no, I mean, whatever, fine. I've had drinks thrown on me. Like, it is what it is. I do not represent the gay community. I can only represent myself.
You've had drinks.
But you do that poorly, too.
You've had drinks thrown on you by somebody who's heard you on the radio?
Yeah.
Or just,
Like, I've been at the club, and they're like, ugh, they say, that's Pound Cake. And then all of a sudden, I just get a bunch of eyebrows raised towards me, and then...
Perfectly threaded, raised eyebrows.
Perfect. And they all look like Jafar eyebrows, and I'm dancing, minding my own business. And then sooner or later, someone, oops, dropped a drink.
They don't throw it at you like the First Wives Club. You mean they pretend like they bumped into you and spill it?
They throw it at me. It accidentally, on purpose, landed on my chest. Oops. I didn't buy this drink anyways. What do I care?
Right. All right. Well, I hope you don't run into that guy.
I think that's the guy who called last time.
About what?
There was a guy who called to say Cody doesn't represent us like 2 weeks ago. That sounded like the same guy.
I don't care.
I don't commit these people's voices to memory, so I'll take your word for it.
He was just as angry. That's why I remembered.
He stayed angry, yeah. Didn't he? Yeah. Well, he keeps listening, and I appreciate that. I want you to listen.
I thought bisexual was like an all-the-time thing. Like, you're attracted to both men and women all the time.
That's why I said it's not like he's having regular sex with women. I mean, that's what I understand it to be.
But then again,
I'm a cis hetero male,
straight,
Mary.
Cis white.
I'm everyone's a-hole, mm-hmm. Right? I'm a white guy, cisgender, heterosexual. I'm everybody's punching bag.
I think, I mean, this is like the hacky argument that people make when they are stupid, but they're like, oh, a straight guy. I'm serious. Wait until you hear it.
You know, when people are stupid, this is what they say. Exhibit A.
No, and they're like, as a straight man.
I may be a stupid hack, but...
as a straight man, I couldn't just sign one document and then never be gay again. Like, I don't know if that's the point
you
that this
can,
guy's
and they
coming
do,
from.
And that's what I'm saying. They just don't talk about it.
Is that people, I don't know if that's kind of where he's coming from, where it's like, I've heard straight guys say that kind of stuff before.
Well, but also, it always surprises me for the people who get so upset at labels. This is a guy that's clearly trying to slap one on Pound Cake. He's really mad that Pound Cake doesn't identify himself in a particular way. Yeah. And yes, having, again, that's why it's called Gold Star Gay. Because it's not uncommon for them to have sex with, to try to have sex with a woman or something, right?
Yeah.
Or
they,
yeah,
when they were to in talk the, themselves out of it.
When they were in the closet. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me before they were in the closet they weren't gay? Like, they were having sex with women to try and prove to themselves that they weren't gay.
Well, but, I mean, obviously there's a lot of gay dudes who have never had sex with women.
But a lot of
they were in the closet, they weren't doing anything, you know?
One of my really good friends, he dated a girl, he was a swordsman all through college, and then everyone was like, "You're gay?" All his little girlfriends were like, "I can't believe this."
I wonder if you'd have some amazing insight, though, if that was your sexual trajectory.
What do you mean?
Well, if you were, for all intents, it's one thing if you're hiding it and you're pretending to be straight for appearances or family or, you know, the invisible man up in the sky or whatever. But, you know, there are some people who get to the middle of their life and they go, "I think I'm gay," you know, but they were, they just, it never occurred to them, or they just, yeah, that would be a, that'd be a wild life.
Pushing
never.
Something down. Well, you got a guy like Fancy who, he's probably the...
He's bi.
He's very bi, but he's like... He's try. Like, he's that like, I'll try anything.
Yeah,
like
he's not bi, he's try. He will try anything once.
He will do anyone. Like, he's got crazy stories, and he probably has some of that perspective that you're looking for, Alan.
One of my good friends, her dad just came out to her family at Christmas, like, 2 years ago.
Her dad.
Wow. And she's like, you know, he always had a friend around, but
that's
nobody,
a hell of a way to get a divorce.
Nobody ever thought anything was going on, because it was like, oh, they've been friends since childhood, you know, and now he's
yeah,
with
they
his
have.
Friend.
Listen,
seriously?
I got an uncle that's got a friend since childhood, and we're all like, we're just waiting.
Once
grandma dies, I think things are going to be a little different.
They were playing doctor a lot in the backyard when they were little.
Because I asked her about it, and she said their parents had a great marriage, a very loving marriage. They never saw them, like, fighting, and they would kiss and show affection, and they had two kids. And he's, like, in his 60s, and he's like, "Hey, guys, I got to tell you something, you know?" Like,
I got to tell you, I'm really tired of your mom.
So,
nah, whatever.
That might be a reason that this guy resents you so much, is because he sounds a little older than you, and it sounds like he probably had more struggle coming out. If he had more of a hard time coming out, he might see the way that you treat your gayness a little bit flippant, and then be like, "I don't appreciate that."
No, that's not it.
What is it?
The Rainbow Mafia just likes to cancel people. That's what they do. They weren't in power for so long, and now they're in power.
Tell them to work harder. Dave Chappelle's still out there.
No, they're trying. People walking out in protests outside Netflix.
Doesn't that suck, though, really, when you think about it? And and he's kind of right. It sucks that marginalized groups, when they finally kind of get, and again, I'm casting with a broad brush here, but people are people, and human nature is kind of it's not a fixed thing, but there are common threads. And so you look at marginalized groups that when they finally get some power, whether it's political or social or financial or whatever, that they try to make up for lost time, but you end up becoming
the thing you didn't
want. Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild. Brandon's gay. He said, "I would never waste a drink by throwing it on Pound Cake."
Oh, I licked it off. I didn't waste it either. It was right on my chest. I was like,
"You licked it off your own chest?"
I had
Long Island iced tea.
I had a shirt that was open, and then I had an undershirt underneath that. So I was like, "I'll just button up the shirt that I have, take the shirt off, and wring it out in my mouth, get a little bit of juice out of that."
That's how he saves his ducats.
Yeah, no, forget that.
Have you ever heard of a platinum gay?
I have, but I guess I don't know what it means. What
well, it? According to this person, it's a gay man who was a C-section baby.
Oh, well, then that's
so
me.
He's never, ever touched any lady bits.
Yeah, that's me then.
But you've touched the lady bits before. But
not down there,
never
have you?
I have, but I've never been.
You use your fingers once.
Yeah, I was like, I've never been in there, though.
Yeah.
Just around the outside, around the outside.
Around the outside, around the outside, around the outside.
You know how upset Eminem would be if he knew his song was being used for that?
Whatever.
So good.
Pretty clear. It's a bunch of bottoms anyways. What are they going to do, cancel me? They're all ugly.
Pake's got that top confidence.
No, forget it, because I don't care. Like, if my mate was here, I would have found him. There's Tinder, there's Grindr, there's all the clubs. There's going to be some circuit in here that I would have touched or met someone.
You don't know what you don't know until you know it.
So forget them. They're all ugly, and I don't want to be with them. Hey, I molest children.
Shut up.
That might be it, honestly. That could be the kicker.
Call the Alan Cox Show.
Is it a noun or is it an exclamation?
216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
If you want to text for anything. AlanCoxShow.com for all the other stuff. You can watch live there if you like. We're doing the Cox Out pregame tonight before the Browns game. I'll get to the Ivy around 7 o'clock. I'm right there at West 6 and Lakeside. And here on MMS, we're doing a pregame with the Buzzard. So they're going to go commercial-free from 6:50 to kick off. A little pregame soundtrack if you're going to be, watching a game.
I mean, parking before the game.
There you go. Pre-game with the Buzzard, baby. 6:50 all the way to kickoff. No commercials. No nothing. Just music. Very exciting. The medical examiner down there in Florida, a lot of people are hitting me up going, oh, they found Brian Laundrie's body. They think that they did. They said that there's a strong probability. I think maybe the family's lawyer even thinks that that's the case. Strong probability is that those remains are Brian Laundrie's. They said that they've been there. It looks like they've been there for a bit. So they might find out, you know, I don't know how much they can back time this kind of stuff. They might find out that this dude was dead within a couple of days of looking for him.
Shame.
But that they're, people were looking at his parents. There was a theory that his parents were maybe trying to divert the police. I think they've come to the conclusion that there's no discrepancy between what his parents said and what law enforcement said with respect to the timeline of Brian Laundrie's disappearance.
As you're aware, the FBI and the Northport Police Department and our state and local law enforcement partners have been searching the area of the Carlton Reserve for Brian Laundrie. Earlier today, investigators found what appears to be human remains, along with personal items, such as a backpack and notebook belonging to Brian Laundrie. These items were found in an area that up until recently have been underwater. I know you have a lot of questions, but we don't have all the answers yet. We are working diligently to get those answers for you.
I think his parents have said, the water obviously will obscure those things, but his parents have said that this would be the area that they told the cops he was in the whole time. That he would be in this park.
How do they know? Just because he would hang out there a lot?
I guess so, yeah.
But wouldn't you not go to the place that you would hang out a lot if you're on the run?
That's why I think he just cut off his leg and arm.
Threw it in there.
Threw it in the river and is like, now I'm just out there.
But this
free.
Would mean that he was, I mean, the suspicion was that he was on the run.
Right.
But I think there might have been one instance of him using Gabby Petito's debit card or something. But
I thought that was on his way back.
Okay, there you go. So then it was just, there was never any confirmation that he was on the run. That's just what everybody said because they couldn't find him. But if he went to the place that he was usually hanging out and killed himself or whatever, and then the whole thing is submerged, then he was never on the run.
Or he got eaten by an alligator.
Eaten by an alligator.
It is Florida. He could have. Mm-hmm. Maimed.
At the Maya Kakahachi. There's a lot of syllables and consonants in this. At the Maya Kakahachi Creek Environmental Park.
Maya Kakahachi.
As happenstance was, his parents stumbled across his items.
I had too much hot sauce last night in Maya Kakahachi.
I got to switch to Cholula or something. The area where they discovered the remains, they said, was in the very area of the park that his parents initially told law enforcement to look. And so if he had gone there, you know, he could be within a day. Who knows? This kid could have, I don't know how old those remains are. There were people suggesting that the parents might have planted things, and their lawyer said that was hogwash.
Like human remains?
I assume that's a legal term that I'm unfamiliar with, but no, planted like his backpack. You know, we keep a bag of human remains in the back for just such an occasion. Our kid was always a little thin-skinned growing up, so, you know, we knew we had to plan for the future, and so living in Florida, sooner or later you're going to come across human remains, and we thought that if we held on to these, we'd be able to dole them out in the future, and look, they came in handy.
When they say human remains, what do they mean?
Like pieces of a human body.
Yeah, I understand that, but is it like chunks of meat? Is it bones?
No, you decompose pretty quickly, so they would find bones.
Especially underwater, yeah.
Is it out of the realm of possibility that his parents did have some of his baby teeth? And those are the human remains that they found. They planted his baby teeth by his
wallet. Yeah, I don't think that's what they
wallet and his notebook.
Wait, I think that would be... That feels a little transparent to only find teeth next to a backpack.
And little tiny ones.
Little tiny teeth.
You don't know how big his teeth were.
That is true. 37 days. God, this seems like a hell of a lot longer than that, boy. 37 days after he was reportedly last seen by his parents.
So I mean, wouldn't you go to all ends to help your kid?
No, not if they...
If they killed someone, I don't know that
if
I
if they were suspected of killing, I would say, turn yourself in.
Yes.
No, they didn't do it. They come to you and they say, Dad, I'm telling you, this wasn't me. That's
my
not what happened.
My kids are liars.
Then
no, I'm saying, they're
going to make me look bad.
Then let's go. If you're telling the truth, then go
let's
tell
the authorities.
Cops.
Yeah.
I can't. My life will be over. I just need you to help me.
What have you done with your life anyway?
Well, his life is, if this is him, his life's over. He ended it.
I don't know.
I'd rather see that than see my kid end up killing himself.
What if he's in an underground bunker and they're helping hide him?
There is that theory out there.
There is! Yeah. Is there actually?
There actually is because...
Oh, there
she
are.
Was,
it was behind
she
his
was,
house.
Kidding, yeah.
They're always
she was gardening and they're like, there's a hand coming up and she's handing him coffee and... just
like
bored.
A zombie movie. Mm-hmm. Handing him coffee.
Like they,
from the underground bunker.
From the underground bunker in their garden.
Right.
And that's where he's been for 37
years. When he pulled his hand back down, wouldn't all the dirt collapse into the coffee cup?
It's a designed hole for just that. So there's something to keep from all falling.
All right. I mean, some chains that are out there, you get a bunch of dirt in your coffee, you can't tell the difference anyway. So
shots fired.
So the they have to determine if this is in fact Brian Laundrie, but they say that they won't. The team will be on the scene for several days. Hey, Woody.
Alan.
Yeah.
How was your day, brother?
Oh, it's hanging in. I finally saw Woody. I saw him at the Cox out on Sunday, and then he was out of there like a ghost. Boy, I turned around, Woody was gone.
Yeah, right.
I didn't even find human remains. Just found Woody's seat empty.
A year and a half for fishing your fat face?
Something like that. Yeah. He might have left a couple of remains on the seat, but what?
I just want to say hi to you guys. I was talking to Cody, and the last segment you were talking about is just a complete buzzkill because you know I'm not really hip on murder, suicide, talk show radio.
I'm glad to hear that, I guess. You're not up on murder suicide radio?
Yeah, I try to stay away from like all the ugly side of life.
Mhm.
But I remember you guys Mary was talking she did a show she was going to do a show up in Michigan or Wisconsin or wherever and she was going to follow a guitar comedian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that coming up this weekend? Or?
The 3rd of November.
Oh, it is coming up.
Yes.
Oh, well, I hope you guys can bear with me for the next 10 seconds of your life because
we're gonna try.
This song is for you, darling.
Oh, good.
Are you ready now?
Ready.
Here we go.
I feel like I'm on hold.
Okay, thank you, Woody. He's playing Tenacious D. Is that what it was?
I couldn't tell.
Alan, there's no way that this guy is dead. He's going to get away with murder until he gets spotted at a baseball game in 40 years. What if he killed someone else and planted those remains next to the backpack?
That's why they're testing the remains.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the cocks out, I know I said I was going to come, but I probably won't come because I'm not trying to drink.
Well, not with that attitude.
You knew he wasn't going to come.
But I'm telling him I'm not going to come. It's rather than be a no-show. What's the point of going down there and being in the environment, getting an Uber, going back, and then being sober? I just want to be a blob and watch TV. Yes!
I understand. I'm not mad at you.
No, I was just clarifying.
Thank you.
I didn't know if there was any fans. I know there's probably not many, but someone might
have been excited. Oh, man, my whole night's ruined. I was going to the concert.
Wait. You were telling me, in case there were fans coming to say hi to you?
As a plus, like, oh, I'm going to the concert pregame, and Pound Cake would be there.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Actually, there's breaking news. They have canceled all the football season because Pound Cake doesn't want to go.
Wouldn't that be great? No wonder the gays hate me. The boys won't even play.
Well, you'd have the straights hating you, too, if that were the case.
But that's nothing. That's nothing new.
Alan, a couple of weeks ago, I texted you, and we were prematurely celebrating my grandmother's 100th birthday. Well, today is the day, and she officially made it. So congratulations to your grandmother. 100 years! Boy, would that we all could last that long. That would be fantastic.
I want to see the letter from her senator.
Oh, my God.
Shut up, Mary! You're mad!
I'm not mad.
Stop being mad!
She's PMSing.
Okay, relax.
You told us that.
I know. I'm kidding.
That's how you explained it.
I know. I'd rather have it out than in.
That's right.
Bitch finally got a butt and feeling some type of way.
I showed Cody pictures of my butt today.
Yeah, I walk in there. I was going to.
What type of work environment?
Hey, we got some shirts from the Cavs. And the, like, Mary covers up her phone real quick. I'm like, what are you guys doing? She's like, I'm showing Pound Cake my butt.
Your bare butt?
My bare butt. Because it's not like it was a picture of it, because I've been doing this
You showed him a picture of your bare ass.
Yeah, I've been doing this exercise program that's like focused on booty building, and I was like, man, my butt's not getting any bigger, my pants all fit the same, blah blah blah. And I did a side by side today from like June and then of today, and I was like, I'm not gonna show you guys my butt, but I was
why
like,
show him?
Because he doesn't like girls, so it wouldn't be like,
no, why show any of us?
Because I want to share it with somebody.
Huh. Not your boyfriend.
I already said it to him, but he's at work and he hasn't responded yet.
So you're like, I need a response on my ass right now.
Tell me how good this is.
I need a response right now.
I feel proud and I want to have affirmation that it was a good transformation.
Great ass!
And he said, you got cakes. And
she went from flat to fat.
Okay.
That's cool.
So, is that what you wanted to hear?
Yes. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Now, what if your boyfriend goes, oh, congratulations.
He feels
them all the time.
I know. I asked him yesterday. I was like, does my butt feel bigger to you? And he was like, it feels nice. I was like, that's not what I asked.
You're trying to make it, you're trying to get like squat ass. You're not trying to get, yeah.
I want like a like muscular, but like I've never had a big butt since I quit cheerleading.
All right. I had some cakes.
Yeah, I had a nice bubble butt when I was cheering, and then it's been gone. And then I took
it. It's interesting how a big butt is something that has become aspirational.
Not even big, like.
No, I know, round.
I want it to be there. I've never had a butt since in the last 10 years.
All right.
So that's what we're doing. And so I was showing Cody and
showing
I had
Pound
the
Cake.
Picture out.
And Pound Cake, your thoughts?
I said she had some cakes. It was good. Mm-hmm. I was proud of her. She was my friend Plank before.
Yeah.
And now she is a full-fledged white girl with
Not gay. Okay. Not gay.
No, I didn't say, damn, Mary, that's kind of hot. It makes it move. She twerked up all up on me. That ass has been on me. It's fine.
I mean, were you spreading the cheeks in the picture? Or?
No. It wasn't a beehole.
Well, no. It's just a picture in my butt. Underwear.
Is my butt bigger? Like, Jesus, he didn't stretch you out.
Ew, Cody! Not like that.
Nice clean butthole.
Wasn't that?
All right.
It's my leg muscles.
So it wasn't, just to be clear, it wasn't you in like thong underwear.
It was me in thong underwear.
Oh, so it wasn't your bare, unclothed ass. I thought it was you naked with a shot from the behind.
So the before picture, the only one I have is a nude that I sent my boyfriend.
Oh, so he's just seen a picture of you in a thong. that any well, one of us could have looked at
two.
That.
There's a side by side.
There's a side by side, and in the side by side, it's like I have it's a nude, so I have towel barely draped.
Right, so it's not from, but it's a profile of your ass.
It's a side, yeah, a side picture of my butt.
She wants to see it lift up. She wants to see the difference, and it does. It makes a really big difference.
Wouldn't that be pretty similar to a photo you would post on Instagram that any one of us could see?
You can't post because that. The before picture is a nude that I sent to my boyfriend.
You can if you're in a swimsuit.
You're not listening.
That is not
I just said the before picture is a nude that I sent to my boyfriend.
Right.
So I'm literally naked, but with just like a towel held over my boobs.
You were showing Pound Cake the before and after.
Yes.
Next to each other.
Correct.
Was like a clam in it or something?
It almost. Which is why I'm like, I'm not going to post this anywhere.
No.
I wanted affirmation.
The creeps will come out of the work.
Oh, no, I would never do that.
You have a great ass, man.
I would absolutely never do that.
So you wanted him to give you an opinion on the before and after.
Look at all the
great work I've done.
Yes.
And you were so desperate for someone to tell you that.
Yes.
That you went to Pound Cake.
Because she knows I'll tell the truth. Because I'm not trying to bang her.
Exactly.
And I have no reason to lie. So I would tell her the truth. Drastically tell the difference.
Right. I sent it to my boyfriend. He didn't say anything. I'm not going to show you guys.
But
I'm not going to post it on Instagram.
No, understood.
When I saw the butt, I instantly thought of the SpongeBob episode where it's like anchor arms, where it's just like...
blow into it.
And the ass just inflates.
And yes, I am shallow enough that I need someone to tell me good job. I don't know if that's shallow.
Did you show your other guy that always gets confused for being
me? No, I should, though. He's got a really nice butt.
Did you send it to your sisters?
I did not.
Why?
Because
you wanted a guy to tell you.
Not even that I wanted a guy to tell me.
I would think your sisters would be the first person that you would send.
I don't want to blow up their spots.
You don't want to blow up their spots?
I don't want to say anything that isn't
I don't want you to either. I'm just curious why you wouldn't send your sisters. Hey, go, "Hey, look at this. This looks pretty good, right?" They're females.
I know.
They're already
You kind of sent them stuff like that in the past.
I know that my sisters don't have the best body image, and they have body positivity issues. I don't want to come off as braggy, like, look at how great... I don't want to throw it in their face, because I know that they've...
But that is what you're doing, is bragging.
Which is why I didn't send it to them.
She's not bragging to another woman about a woman's body. She's bragging to a man that a man might be able to... Even though a gay man
can still appreciate it. It's not even about a man or a woman. I don't want to... I don't even know if this... I don't want this to sound... I don't want them to... I don't want to accidentally make someone feel bad about themselves when I know they have body image issues. Like, oh, hey, look at what I'm doing when I know you're not doing anything. I didn't want it to come off like that.
Do you know that they're not doing anything?
Yes.
Oh. You know,
See, now I feel bad, like, putting that out there.
Well, no,
like,
you're talking about 99.9% of women, so you're not blowing up anybody's spot. But, you know, Pound Cake, your logic, though, being friends with someone is usually a reason people lie.
But I'm not going to do that. I have no reason to lie to Mary.
She doesn't know that.
I do.
She's been through way worse.
You don't know. You don't know.
Bitch, that's not different.
But you don't know if he's lying, is what I'm saying.
But I'm not lying. And
if he said that's no different, what would you have said?
I'd have been like, really? Okay. Maybe it's not as good as I thought it was.
I guess it depends.
One person's opinion.
I guess it depends on the character of the person. I feel like me telling her that if her butt didn't look different, I don't think that would deflate her as much as it would in recent events. Like, she's had her dad died. Like, I don't think me hurting her feelings about her butt would...
Not having booty gains is, like, the least of my worries.
Hmm. Yeah, so...
Well, listen, I think that... I think the conclusion we can all reach on this is that at some point, Bill and I have to start posting profile butt pics.
Yes, you do.
Hmm.
We don't have to post them. We just have to share them with each other.
Send them in a private group text to one another.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Check out these cakes. All right. So he made you feel good.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. I just wanted to share it with somebody.
Somebody texted, "Oh, great. I made this Pound Cake t-shirt and hat to wear to the Cocks Out tonight. Now what am I going to do with it?"
Sorry.
See, you've already made one person upset. At great personal cost to them, I would imagine. Hmm. Well, would it be, your sisters both have children, though. That's why it's probably a little bit more difficult for them to carve some time out for themselves to work out.
So
you just don't want to make them feel strange about it.
Right.
And because they would?
I have all the time in the world to do whatever I want.
Right.
So I don't want to, I don't.
But would they take it that way?
I don't know that they wouldn't.
Okay, yeah.
And
you didn't want to take
that,
the chance.
I'm not saying that as a slight to either of them or anything like that.
You didn't want to take the chance.
I didn't want to be flaunty.
You didn't want them going, look at this bitch.
Right, kind of. What is like...
Are you trying to make us all uncomfortable? Gross, it's weird, it's not right, it's not cool.
And there's plenty more where that came from. Back to the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
If you need a text for anything. Next chance for you to win $1,000, by the way, is about 9 minutes from now, 4:30. I'll have another keyword for you to go fund yourself. Kevin Bozeman, pride of the Midwest, the crown jewel of the Midwest comedy scene. Is that, I can say that, right? You're the crown jewel.
All of those things. I'll own them. I'll own all of them. But the most important thing is...
Yes.
Who's going on the under with me on this snooze fest tonight you guys want to have? Who's going to go under on this 6-3 football game we got?
Listen.
You guys bad weather, backup quarterbacks.
You guys
going
to come see me? Yeah. You guys going to watch the battle of the field goals? And not come see your boy in Cleveland?
On a rainy
treachery.
Night? Yeah. Get inside, stay dry, have some fun.
Right,
and the battle of the field goals,
and just periodically check your phone as it dings and be like, and a turnover at the 20-yard line.
Well, right? Vibrate. You're not going to want to hear phones pinging.
You're not going to. I'm just
saying,
though.
Yeah,
go
of
outside and yep. check on that. Look. The show. My show is at 7. The game's at what? 8:20.
8:20.
My show is over 10 minutes. 10 minutes after the game starts.
Plenty of time to walk
That's
over in the rain.
Time to do both.
Honestly, you could. You could probably get some cheap tickets for the Browns game after going to see you.
Exactly. They're going for $40 tonight.
And then, you know, Pelicans.
Oh, Kevin Bozeman tonight. All over the weekend at home. It's
that
relatable.
Happened.
It's birds.
It's relatable. It's birds.
Yeah. It's everything you need.
Everything you want.
Kevin Bozeman tonight. So Hilarities.
Oh, so, that's right. All through the weekend.
Here's a little fun fact, though. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Hilarities, one of my favorite clubs in the country.
Yes.
Easily one of my 5 favorite clubs to perform in the country. It's also a little fun fact in a basement, which is good for tornadoes.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true.
Would you rather be stranded in a basement of the comedy club full of booze and chicken strips and Kevin Bozeman? What's a better way to be stranded?
And Pelicans.
Pelicans.
They don't just got chicken strips. They have legit good food.
Good food. It's a great restaurant.
And if the water level gets a little too high, you can strap a whole bunch of chicken strips together and just float out on it.
Listen,
chicken
man,
strip
there's
raft.
All sorts of exits at that club. We can raft out. We got. We'll get out. Don't you worry about that.
But raft out.
I'm looking forward to it. I believe I'm excited to find out that this game is going to go. It's going to go drastically under. I just can't see.
What is the
41?
41.
Yeah. 41.
Total
41
points.
Enough. Total points.
Yeah.
41.
Yeah.
So that means the score needs to be 23-20 or something like that.
Yeah.
I do not see that happening tonight.
I don't. See, as soon as I saw Case Keenum was like, I was born for this, I was like, no, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
you're not encouraged by him saying, you don't have to get ready when you stay ready.
When you stay ready. Yeah, right?
He's played for 6 teams.
He's just 16, and every team was like, you're not ready.
Right.
He hasn't started in 2 years either. So
no, he was in like one game last season in the fourth quarter or something. Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. Case Keenum is that guy that does stay ready until he comes out. They're like, oh my gosh, this guy is good.
Yeah.
And then other teams figure him out, and then he's just like, no, I'm not good. So his first game or two, he can be solid. But then eventually, if he has to play the entire season, you guys are in big trouble.
Are you a betting man? Do you put anything legit
That's all
down
I
on
do.
These?
This whole paycheck is going on. Why would I not gamble?
So come on out this weekend and fund Kevin Bozeman's gambling problem. Because it's really on you if you don't show up.
It's not a problem if you're good at it.
That's
it's
true.
It's not a problem if you're good at it, baby. I create a mutual fund where I take people's money and gamble it for them and give them a better rate than
good
CD.
For
it's
there
Bozeman
you go.
Mutual.
Yeah, you're the Bernie Madoff of
Bozeman
the Midwest.
Mutual, baby. I take your money. and then I give it back to you with
interest,
a little bit of interest, better than a CD, better than a mutual fund.
Yep.
But sometimes, every now and again, you don't get anything at all. But that's not how we should live our life.
Those are not our corporate values, really. You gave me $1,000, I gave you $1,002. Right. That's how this works.
That's not part of our mission statement,
I
think it's safe to say.
What's the most you've ever made off of a bet?
Oh, gosh. I hit a 18 NBA parlay once.
18? Jeez, that's
really?
That's some the uncut gems type situation.
Right.
Wow.
I had an 18 NBA parlay once.
Wow.
It paid me a few thousand.
That's crazy.
For just a few thousand. But that's probably the biggest bet. But I also divvy up my time in casinos and not just sports gambling and college football and professional football and NBA. I like to
diversify,
spend my money unwisely in multiple ways.
Right.
I like to leave a lot of people hanging. I feel that I operate best when I'm right on the edge, when I'm terrified all the time.
Right. I function in dysfunction.
Right.
When everything's going right, that's when I'm uncomfortable.
You start to second guess yourself.
I think you need
the pressure cooker.
The first weekend we worked together was actually I had just called off my wedding, and me and you were I don't know what love stuff you were
perfect
going
way
through.
To celebrate.
But so
no, I'm just going through a regular day life.
We drank the club dry, and then every night we went to the casino because I was like, oh my god, another gambler. Like,
yeah, that's what we went to the casino
over.
And
like
let me
6
tell you
a.m.
Let me tell you, dude, I was impressed and also worried about you.
Terrified.
Like, whoever gambles with me every day, but she was just like, I know these slots are going to hit. And I was like, no, they're not, Mary.
Like, Mary.
Bail. If I just, she was like checking for, scrounging for extra change.
You saw her in her natural habitat.
Yeah, one of the few people that I've actually because I felt the way that you were gambling, I was like, oh, he's a gambler. He can see me gamble.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll keep it under wraps with some people. I'm like, oh, hi, we put $40 in, I was like, oh, Kevin gets it.
If I lost $40, I would be like, dude, I had a good day at the casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I went
$40 isn't losing. $40 is just what?
I went to Vegas for the first time this past summer. I'd never been before. My wife had been a bunch of times, but I turned 50. And she and some friends from L.A. were going, and they go all the time. She goes, let's just all go out to Vegas. So I went, and I'm playing blackjack because that was fun, right? I go, I want to play craps. I want to do all this. I just sat at the blackjack table. And I was like way up because you're playing with house money then. And I burned it all out. But I'm not the guy that's going to go in there. I mean, I was happy and I was having fun, but I'm not the guy that's going to go in there.
Listen, man,
$8,000 on something.
I just did Vegas 2 weeks ago, and I was there for 7 days.
Yeah,
and and I'd be the first to admit that's 6 days too long.
I was going to say, like, you start to worry about yourself.
I like to fly in. Ideally, I like to fly in early in the morning. And then fly out the next morning and just don't even get a room.
Right. Yeah.
Just go.
Sleep at the bus station.
And just
don't
gamble
sleep.
And drink and and then just and live my life free and carelessly. Everybody's like, what's the weather? I'm like, I only know the weather when I'm getting the taxi to the hotel and then when I'm leaving. I never leave. I'm not walking around.
Right.
I'm not sightseeing. I got a business to run.
Bozeman Mutual. I got clients.
I got a business to run, man. I got tired of me frolicking around.
Is there a game you lean towards, or are you doing slots?
No, I don't do slots. I do like video poker, though.
Okay.
All high risk, high reward games. So Mississippi Stud.
That's what you taught me how to play. Yeah.
Yes, I did. That's right, because I had to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to get my spot, so I sat her down with these chips. I was like, just bet the minimum.
Don't
get crazy. And sure enough, she still managed to lose a lot.
Yeah, well, there you go.
He came back, he's like, what happened? I was like, I felt it, man. I don't know. I just felt it, and I doubled down. And
yeah, so Mississippi Stud, Ultimate Texas Hold'em, and four-card poker.
So you're like in there. You're doing
I'm,
it.
And, I'm in.
Right.
I'm in. I want, like, I'm pre-Roy's McGuire. I'm hitting 60 home runs, but I got a 212 batting average. I'm going to score a lot. I'm going to drive in some runs, but believe me, I'm swinging at some bad pitches.
It takes a lot to get there. Yeah.
I'm swinging at some bad pitches. I mean,
I've got to.
I love. I keep doing these sports references, and your producer is like, "What?"
He's fine. Kevin Bozeman is doing the weekend at Hilarities. We have not seen him in a long time. And you've got, how long has the album been out? How long is...
Two Pair of Love has been out a couple of years.
It's been out for a little bit.
Like the end of 2018.
Yeah.
Like the very end, like December 2018.
But you've got the podcast and everything.
I just recorded my new album, which should be coming out in like the next month or so.
What's that one going to be called?
You
don't know yet?
I'm torn between like a title track or just calling it Kevin of the Year.
Or Pre-Royd McGuire.
Pre-Royd McGuire. That might be a good one. Bozeman Mutual presents.
Bozeman Mutual Pre-Royd McGuire.
I like Kevin of the Year. That's pretty good.
Kevin of the Year. I battled a lot of Kevins.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to them to win win that title. But I'm definitely Kevin of the Year.
Good for you.
I went through a lot. But yeah, so I'm excited for that. And then now I'm back at it, man. I've been working. Like, I mean,
were you hunkered down for a while? I know there were some guys going out wherever they could, and other people just sat at home.
I was just talking. So I was out. I was working. I did a lot of Zoom shows, but I did. I was in all the hot spots.
Yeah,
like I was zones, all the spots you shouldn't go. Texas, right. Florida,
Franklin,
I was
in Tennessee.
Didn't get it. Had lunch with a friend. Caught it.
Really?
Oh, so, at home, you had lunch,
like, lunch with a friend. Like, so I was in Florida for a week and I didn't catch it, and I was like, I don't think I can get COVID. Because they're passing out COVID like it's weed there.
Yeah,
like,
right, sure.
Hit this COVID, man.
On the street corner. Yeah.
Take your mask off. Stop being a little bitch. Hit this COVID.
So then you go home and you get it.
And then I had lunch with a friend and got COVID. And I was like, listen, man, COVID is that creepy dude that's everywhere.
Was it bad or was it like you got it but you didn't feel anything?
So it started out mild.
Yeah.
Like I had like a low fever, a low cough, and like a shingles like feeling.
Yeah,
like everything that touched my skin, Mason. And then after 3 days, everything went back to normal and I just finished out the quarantine. And then the following week, couldn't breathe.
That's the weird thing too, is these people that get it and then it comes back.
I ended up getting pneumonia and I couldn't taste. The only thing I could taste was fruit. The sweetness and tequila, and don't ask me how I figured that out.
But it's almost like it comes with a lime or something.
I knew that tequila was there for me.
Watered down casino
drinks. My darkest hour,
Don Julio showed himself to me.
I wish
it was Don Julio, my man. I think my tequila was called Worm.
it was a plastic bottle.
It was a jug with a handle.
I would bounce the bottle, would bounce back in my hand. It was crazy. But
honey,
I drank more worm.
I can't taste anything.
I drank it. But yeah, I got COVID. I'm vaccinated. I'm ready to roll. I'm
excited. Are you living in Chicago?
Right in the suburbs.
In the burbs?
Yeah, I live in the suburbs.
Is Bert still running Zanies?
No, he just retired a year ago.
Yeah, he's running that place forever.
He was running it for sure.
Yeah. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I saw him before I moved to Cleveland. But
he's definitely running it, though. Yeah, he was. It's so hard to run a comedy club, though, because you gotta get the pulse. You got to be able to establish an audience, establish the type of comics you're going to bring in. He did a really good job of that. Like, everyone knew who Zanies was and what their brand was.
They're like the only... Well, I mean, I know that they opened up a comedy store and they opened up like comedy bar or something.
Yeah, those there's old so school, many games in town now.
Now, those old school clubs, like, it was Funny Firm and the Improv, you know, Zanies is the last one left. Like, I know they're out in the boonies, but I mean...
Zanies is right downtown.
I know, that's the last one that's left. The only one that's left of those old clubs in the city.
The Chicago comedy scene is so fantastic. The Cleveland comedy scene is underrated. You got two gems with you here in the studio. I wish they would come to Chicago more so we can hang out and I can get one guy drunk and then the other one I can drink water with, I guess.
She can be your fruit tester.
People with goals and life changing events and they get their life together, they're some of the most irritating people on the planet.
They're less fun.
You know that I got sober at you, right? That's what I did. I was like, is Bozeman looking? He better like this pose.
I like he got sober because of me.
Yeah, right.
He's just like, oh, the Bozeman.
I can't do one more weekend with this guy.
You did hit like peak drunk Mary,
oh,
though.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was...
2017, 2018 was when I was on
Mary. And especially right after your... fiance thing went away. Like,
and
yeah,
we were with another comedian named Carmen Morales, who is she's in L.A. now, but she's also known to drink.
Yeah,
so
dude,
we were drinking
bad,
bottles of whiskey.
We were a bad combination. Just three girls hanging out.
Just talking about love.
Love over casino chips.
Love between the chips. Kevin Bozeman is at Hilarity's this weekend, and as he said, you know, you go down there to watch the show, and you couldn't be safer.
And listen,
just down
listen,
there, tornado free.
It is a comedy club slash bunker.
Yeah, slash bunker. Lounge slash nightclub.
It does
slash yeah.
It does it all, and you have your own, and it feels like you have your own little street. That street is blocked off, no cars. It's
that's right.
It's a different. The street is made of different material. It's bricks. It's just your own little
There's
street.
There's no
just,
way a tornado is going to find that little alley.
This, it won't
and get
even.
Down there.
It won't even come.
No.
It won't even come. But you know who is in trouble? People just watching a 6-3 football game, just 20,000 feet up in the air in the rain. What's that swirl?
Hey, that doesn't look good.
That
what is
look
that?
Good. Maybe that's why they're missing all the field goals.
Yeah, well, we were talking about it before. They're going to have to deal with wind. 11 miles per hour as of earlier today, but now it's going to get, as I understand it, tornadoes are a little faster than 11 miles per hour.
Faster
a little bit faster.
Than 11 miles per hour. Just bunker in with your boy, Kevin Bozeman. Tonight, Friday night, one show. Saturday night, two shows. I'm afraid that I have one show on Friday, and I'll be done at 9 o'clock with Cleveland, just the city
just
calling
waiting for
me.
You. Just waiting for
when
you.
When I say the city of Cleveland, I mean Jack's Casino. Calling me!
You fall right. Hello?
Come on.
I thought this was on vibrate.
Quiet voice in my head.
Mm-hmm. You want me to see if I can get Cavs tickets tomorrow, too?
What time is that game at?
7, I think.
That one, no, one I can't. All that right. one I can't do. So yeah, I'm in. Enjoy.
I got a show at a winery, but I'll be back in town.
We got
9-10 o'clock. So
yeah, we got you. Ohio State, Indiana to bet on. We got all sorts of things.
Man, you got a full dance
influence.
Card.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
You got it all figured out.
Ah, man, this is going to be one of the great weeks of 2021.
Great week of
you know
stand-up
crazy?
With Kevin of the Year.
Yeah, that's debatable.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're not talking about comedy.
No, comedy is my release. Comedy is my therapy. I love it. And I'm going through so much.
Going through things.
Just going through
things. I know.
You battling.
It's hard to run a mutual fund.
It's hard to run a mutual fund and also be a parent. You can't do both.
No.
I'll tell you what, kids. The mutual fund's a lot more lucrative.
Yeah.
What? What's Santa Claus bringing?
Kevin Bozeman is at Hilarity's tonight and tomorrow and Saturday. And then doing some at the Jack Casino, probably. You'll see him walking around.
Listen, if there's anything that's seedy going on this weekend, just get at your boy.
Mm-hmm.
Just slide in my DMs.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Bozeman with a Z.
Hashtag seedy.
Seedy. Well, it's good to see you.
Oh, man.
We'll see you next
Always
time.
A pleasure.
And
to
good
be
luck
back
with
here.
The mutual fund and the gambling and the whole thing.
And then the kids.
And the kids.
Play the snare drum. Let's play double time for the hi-hat. 1, 2, 3, 4. Play a little faster. Double bass. This is rock and roll.
Call the Alan Cox Show. 216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
I wonder if I can find that traffic report.
Oh, that was funny.
She paused at the best possible time.
I heard it.
Did you?
Yeah.
A wet and sloppy ride home. I wonder if I can find it in here. Hold on.
From 271, inbound East Shoreway, a slow go from East 72nd Street around Dead Man's Curve and onto the Inner Belt South, passing 77. A wet and sloppy and slick ride for commuters.
That's like a purposeful pause.
A wet and sloppy. And Slick Ride. Yeah!
Right, I'm hoping for one of those tonight.
A Wet and Sloppy? Oh, are
Slick
you?
Ride, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Friend's coming over tonight.
Who is?
A lady friend.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Oh, congratulations. Yeah. How long has it been since you've had someone up to Squiffle Tower? Has it been a minute?
No, because I told you I had someone over a couple weeks. It's been a week.
I guess I didn't realize that I knew you said you got together. Maybe I didn't realize it was up on the ninth floor.
Yeah, so a week.
Is this the same lady friend?
Yeah, same.
Oh.
You've been for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks total. We went out for the first time right before I left for the wedding.
And is this anyone we know?
No, I don't think so.
But you know, I know a lot of people, Bill. Maybe I do.
I mean, I'll show you a picture. No,
just kidding. All right. No, I know, because you were you were with your last girl for a while.
Yeah,
quite a while.
Yep. And then I went on like one or two dates after that ended, and then I took like a lot of time off because I just wasn't feeling it. But now I'm back in it.
Mm-hmm.
This one's I like this one.
Okay. How'd you meet her?
Twitter.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
And she DM'd you? DM'd her?
We went back and forth years ago, and then, like, I got her phone number, and then just recently we kind of reconnected.
Did you still have the number?
Or yeah,
you
hit her up and said,
you did?
I did. I was like, hey, I wonder if she's doing anything.
Was it, hey, remember me, or hey, are you doing anything?
I was like, hey, this is Bill. And she's like, oh, hey, I didn't think you would still have my number. And we started chatting, and we hit it off.
Rest is history. Yeah.
Well, because if somebody goes, hey, I didn't think you'd still have my number, that could be one of two things.
If someone hits me up from 3 years ago, I just ignore it. Like, if they're like, hey, is this still Mary? I'm like, I won't say anything.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I've had dudes from Bumble do that, Tinder.
But that's just a number that you don't recognize.
No, they're usually saved.
So a name will come up.
I've told you I save any guys from dating apps. I would save their name and number based on like something from their profile. So it would be like.
Oh yeah, okay.
Jason Fitness Guy Bumble something like that.
Red shirt.
And I'd get a text.
I hope nobody else wears a red shirt.
Right.
Really going to confuse my phone.
It's like 2 years later, I get a text from that. And it'd be like, is this still Mary? And I just, like, wouldn't respond.
Well, right. It wasn't just, like, out of the blue. Like, we had some back and forths on Twitter that were pretty funny. And so I was like, yeah, maybe I'll just reach out to her. And she was okay with it.
I had a guy stored on my phone with his name and then, in parentheses, urinal at Twist.
Yes. You have to save them.
Is this Matt urinal at Twist? I mean, is this Matt?
Because literally, I got drunk and I was just like, I got a dude's number last night. And he was like, we met at Twist. And I'm like, I mean, a lot of people at Twist. He was like, the guy you were talking to at the urinal. I was like, oh, now I remember you. So, blank, urinal at Twist.
There you go.
And he stayed in my phone like that. And I saw him not too long ago. He's like, do you still have me saved in your phone as Matt? Well,
I was making up Matt. Yeah. I think Poundcake was just repeating me, weren't you, Poundcake?
I was like, Matt at Twist. And I'm like, what makes you think I have your number saved at all? But no, yeah, I did. I had his number saved still.
Oh, so you really put him through the paces then. You're like, what makes you think I still have your number?
I was just joking, but it didn't work out. So.
All right. Jason Sudeikis is hosting SNL on Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
That's very exciting. I like him a lot.
Ted Lasso.
For people who are not watching Ted Lasso, you should get over there on Apple TV and watch it. He was talking about how he doesn't use his real name. His professional name. He uses his middle name because of family reasons. His birth name is Daniel Jason Sudeikis. And his mom called him Jason because when she would, it's also his dad's name. And so when she would yell at his dad, they never knew which one she was yelling at. And his uncle is also George Wendt. From Cheers. Remember Norm from Cheers?
Really?
That's Jason Sudeikis' uncle. Hmm. Yeah. But he's going to host Saturday Night Live on Saturday night. You know, that's why they call it that.
Oh, I was always wondering.
Yeah. I'm not sure who the musical guest is.
Musical guest.
Musical guest, I don't know.
John Meyer.
Jason Sudeikis and...
Queen.
Brandi Carlile We've talked about her. Brandi Carlile. Do you want, I've got Terry the Goat's picks, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should have done this with Kevin.
Yeah.
For week 7. well, we kept getting cut out from these stupid tornado warnings, you know. Stupid people are texting. People are texting me, you know, they go, you just keep cutting out, and then when you come back, I've missed the whole story about pelicans.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That was a good one, a real good one. You missed it.
Football all the way.
All right, Terry the Goat is currently with us for season 3 here on the show. She is out there at Marcinek Farms in Carlton, Pennsylvania. And Al Marcinek, who runs the farm, is our bureau chief out there. And for the past couple of seasons, Terry has been kind enough to send her picks for that week's NFL games. And Al sends me a video of him getting her ready.
Here we are in Carlton, Pennsylvania. And from last Thursday's show, when you talk about yard maintenance, when you want to get your yard cleaned up, you just send out the goats.
He's got the goats in the field eating the grass.
Oh, the crabgrass?
Yeah.
While the other goats are out grazing, Terry knows it's time to don her jersey and go to the prediction station and make her predictions.
We're at number 2 this week.
Oh.
Who's number 2 on the Browns? Anybody know?
Right now, I know it was probably a Tim Couch jersey.
But... okay.
For this week. So Terry is ready to go. She's excited, ready to go, and she is heading to the prediction station, and her predictions will be posted on Thursday.
All right, there you go. Thursday, that is today. And so your week 7 picks, Terry the Goat picked 10 games, including the Cleveland Browns game.
All right.
And by the way, just so I wouldn't forget, I preemptively posted them at the Alan Cox Show Facebook page, because I always forget to do that. So they are up there as well.
There isn't currently a player with number 2 on the Browns.
Okay. But it used to be Tim Couch?
Tim Couch... and I think, is that Johnny Manziel's number 2?
Oh, maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
I think so.
All right, here are your picks, including, we won't get all the results until Tuesday, because Terry did pick Monday Night Football as well. So I'll give you Monday Night Football. That's the Seahawks and Saints. She picks the Seahawks over the Saints. Seahawks are 2-4 right now, so we'll see what happens there.
And Russell Wilson's out, so that's their backup,
my
Geno
goodness.
Smith.
Sierra's just sitting at home rubbing his back. He picks the Tennessee Titans over the Kansas City Chiefs. She picks a Washington over the Packers. That's probably not going to happen. She picks the Ravens over the Bengals. Picks the Atlanta Falcons over the Dolphins. Picks the Patriots over the Jets. She picks the Detroit Lions over the L.A. Rams. That doesn't seem right.
I don't really see that one.
Could be. They're slump buster.
That's each one of those quarterbacks playing their previous team, by the way. She picks the Cardinals over the Texans. Cardinals remain the only unbeaten team. They're 6-0. The Lions, of course, remain the only winless team. They're 0-6. So the opposite ends of the spectrum. She picks Janine Garofalo and the 49ers over the Colts. And finally, between the Cleveland Browns... I didn't want that. Or maybe I did. Sports. 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 Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos. How do you think Terry ruled this week? Because she does not always pick the Browns.
I think she's going to pick the Browns this week.
You'd be correct. Terry picks the Cleveland Browns over the Broncos.
6-3, Cleveland Browns.
So those are your week 7 picks. 10 of them there. Courtesy of Terry the Goat out at Marcinek Farms in Carlton, Pennsylvania. And thank you for those. Alan Cox Show After Hours line, you're always welcome to leave us a message there anytime you like. It's 216-986-8903.
Alan, it's Dustin again down here in Georgia. You know, yesterday I was talking about all this menstrual cycles and PMS and Womare.
And I said menstrual cycles. He's menstrual cycles.
Menstrual.
Those are two very different things. Okay.
I just want to let y'all know that my wife, she's Brazilian, born and raised in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And when she's on her PMS, I tell you, man, she's the meanest damn woman I've ever seen in my life. It's the most horrible thing to deal with. But when she comes off that rag, let me tell you, boy, she'll be on you like white on rice. She just has to get it in.
She'll be on you, not on him. She'll be on the royal you. She'll be on you like white on rice.
Nice. She just has to get it in, which ain't a bad thing. But real quick, I want to tell you this. Y'all get a kick out of this. Speaking of menstrual cycle, my daddy is a big, avid deer hunter. And he has his little lady friend save her used tampons, Alan. And he will take them and hang them in a tree out in the woods.
Yep.
And when them big old bucks go into heat, or go into the rut, they'll go nuts over that period blood. Now, tell me that ain't some redneck stuff. I personally think it's nasty as hell. And ain't no way I'd ever do anything like that, but I'm sure other deer hunters have heard about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, man, have a great day.
There you go. There's Dustin down there in Georgia. I'd love to know the story of him and the wife, how Dustin has a Brazilian wife from Brazil. And I knew a girl who used her own, a girl that went hunting when I lived in, early in my career, lived in Michigan. I knew a girl who was a big hunter.
Did we?
And she'd use her own tampons for that exact same purpose.
Did we miss?
You have like a bloody Christmas tree hanging.
Possibly the best season of 90 Day Fiancé ever, where Dustin's bringing his lady over.
It's my girl from Sao Paulo. She hangs her tampons from a tree, or, you know,
she's got to get it in.
She's got to get it in. Hey, good for him. He's on the road. She's still Brazilian.
What does Dustin look like?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
I want to know what he looks like.
Well, send a photo to Poundcake Dustin. Yeah.
Maybe he'll go to a Bublé concert with you.
There you go.
Bublé, bublé.
You know, the person that was texting before for you to go to the Bublé concert, it was because the boyfriend didn't want to go. So then the boyfriend texts him. He's like, please tell Poundcake to take this ticket so I don't have to go.
Sun is shining.
Night. Yep. Maybe that tornado already did its damage.
I don't understand.
Blew all the tampons out of the trees, Alan.
Now deer everywhere.
Now there's deer and period blood everywhere. What's that, Poundcake?
I just don't know why you can't just be a sport. Like, why can't you just go to the concert?
Be a sport.
You're not being a sport.
I assume
I'm not in a relationship.
I assume he will, but I mean, no guy wants to go with his girlfriend or wife to a Michael Bublé concert.
But,
I mean, you are being a mensch if you're doing that. I mean, and I'm, you know, my wife goes to shows with me, the band she hates all the time.
Yeah,
so
I was
gonna say,
you go for the environment. And there have been occasions that I have done things.
The environment? What do you mean? Climate change?
No, it's the environment of like a concert, you know.
But the environment of a concert is the music. And if you don't like that music, the entire environment is music you don't like. It's not like there's games off to the side here and a snack bar and it's, you know,
get
it's like.
Get drunk and have nachos, it's fine.
I told my boy he's going to all these horrible metal shows. I'm like, you can either call your friends or do that on your own. Like, I'm not going to that.
Well, he probably doesn't ask you to go either.
Right. But I made it known, like, don't ask, because I will say no, and I don't want to hurt your feelings.
No, listen, Gwen's gone to Lamb of God with me, because she was curious, and, you know, she's like, it smells like afterbirth and butthole in here.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, that's a metal show. Yeah, that's what it is. But yes, it's all
hair.
Dudes. Yeah, but it's fine, you know? I mean, she, you know, she had a fine time, but, I mean, I don't take her to those shows. I think she's going to go to Gojira with me.
I feel like I know them. I feel like I've heard Gojira before.
You've heard them on this show. I play them.
Well, then, yeah. Gojira!
Yay!
Yes, it's Go Space Jira.
It's Gojira. Yeah. And I played a little bit of them yesterday because, you know, I'm giving all these tickets away.
Yeah, and it got his YouTube stream blocked in France.
come on, France.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Never been to France.
Be cool, France.
Some things are never meant to be discussed in polite society. Welcome to Impolite Society.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Another $1,000 about 9 minutes from now. Another chance for you to go fund yourself. You have up to 16 chances every single day, give or take. We don't do them during Cavs games. You know. Cavaliers lose last night in the season opener in Memphis, but hopefully fortunes will smile on them tomorrow night. They'll be here at home for the home opener against the Charlotte Hornets, and then Saturday night they'll play the Atlanta Hawks. That's where you'll see Bill and his... are you going to bring seven people? You got seven people lined up for this thing?
Got Kevin Bozeman in the feature act, so they're there.
Yeah.
I got Grandma.
Yeah.
I got OK Pants.
Yeah.
I got Carly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might bring some people, too. So.
Wow.
Be good, yeah.
All right. You got a wagon train.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, they're in Denver to play the Nuggets, and then they're playing the Clippers, and then they go right on the road. They're not back home until November the 3rd.
I know.
Where they'll play Portland, so gone for a minute. But you'll hear all of it here on MMS. Of course, your FM home for Cleveland Cavaliers basketball and all that. If you listen to the show on iHeartRadio from wherever you are, tell me where that is. I heard from Gabe, who was requesting a show sticker, and I'm happy to mail those out. He listens in Roaming Shores, Ohio. You ever heard of Roaming Shores?
No.
It's, well, it's on a lake. It's on Lake Roaming Rock.
Oh. Neat.
Yeah, never
it's
heard of that.
It's near Trumbull County, something. It's out there.
I'm going to be out in Clyde, Ohio. Tomorrow night at the Copper Whale Winery.
How did you get that? That's way west side.
Yeah, that's like near Sandusky.
I was going to say Clyde's way out there.
I think that might be Bureau Chief range. I don't know if you're still getting the signal that far out.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely. Because we've got people in Sandusky and in Crystal Rock and Fremont. And
that's
yeah.
an 8 p.m. show.
It's right out there.
Copper Whale Winery.
The Copper Whale Winery.
Copper Whale Winery.
How did you get that gig?
That's a comedian hit me up. He's like, hey, you want to do some comedy at a winery?
Okay.
We'll pay you money. And I was like, yeah, that's when I like to do comedy now.
Sure. To get paid for it.
Paid for it.
Nothing wrong with that.
And then next Thursday starts the High and Dry Comedy Hour with Bill Squire at High and Dry in Tremont.
A little closer to home.
Show, yeah.
A little closer to home. Mm-hmm.
Gonna have some funny people on that one. That's okay. More of a showcase. That's not just me. That's showcasing the talents of the comedians in Cleveland.
All right, there you go. You're giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Copper Whale Winery, right there off 20.
Oh yeah.
Locally, that's East McPherson Highway. In your 43410 zip code, Copper Whale Wine. CopperWhaleWine.com. I've started to think that maybe I'll start pronouncing my H's with my W's, as I'm sure my dad did. You know, my dad's from the Deep South, and that's a very southern thing to say when and where. And, you know, you'll hear guys like Dan Rather, who's from Texas, say it. And I'm thinking maybe I'll incorporate that into the way I speak. You know, I think people get so locked in, and we talk for a living, but I think anybody gets locked into the way they talk. And I'm not talking about accents, just the way that you present your words, the way that you communicate with people. It doesn't have to be that way. You can change the way you talk anytime you want. That's what keeps language and communication from getting boring. Just change up the way you talk. Pick one or two words and start to pronounce them differently. Not improperly. Start to pronounce them differently.
I mean, like, start saying things the way that a, you know, like a British person would say, instead of saying zebra, you say zebra.
Sure. And you'll get some weird looks.
Mm-hmm.
But who cares?
That's the way they say it in England.
You're mixing it up. Well, this is in England. You know, of course, there's going to be some of that. That one I don't get. I don't get it. They added a syllable. Maybe British Alan get me hip to aluminium. They're like adding. That's not even pronouncing it differently. They're adding letters because it's aluminum, unless they spell it differently. But I don't think they do. Aluminium.
Yeah.
Not aluminum, because that would make sense. Aluminium. Anyway. Yeah, just pick a word and pronounce it. Do your own little pound cake experiment. He pronounces whatever he wants, however he wants it, and he's pretty happy. I think.
I'm sorry, I missed what you were saying. I was on the phone.
No, I was just saying that I think, you know, to keep people from, you know, getting bored with communication or language, people are always, there's no reason you can't mix up your own form of communication and just start, pick one or two words and pronounce them differently. I was just simply saying I might start saying where instead of where or when. You know, hey, we've got a party to go to. I'll say, when is that?
You can speak in Zoom language. Do you remember what that was?
The kids show Zoom?
Yes. Okay,
Zoom,
so you Zoom, remember
Zoom.
It. Yeah.
Well, I remember the show. I don't remember Zoom language.
I forget what they called it, but they took out all the vowels out of all the words.
I remember that. I wanted to talk like that and, so
and,
bad.
And there were kids in my class that would like speak, and I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And I knew what they were doing. I didn't know what they were saying though, and I was like, "Well, you take a vowel out of any word, like it don't make sense." And they're like, "Yeah, that's the point."
You mean like for shiz, or what were they doing?
No, it was like a whole different language.
Oh.
Well, no, there would be real words. They just, like, if you wanted to say shot, you could say shh.
No, I don't think it was
Ubby
just
Dubby?
Yeah, that's what it was.
So what does that mean?
Ubby Dubby is a language game spoken in the 17th century in America. Nice. No, but then it was popularized in the 70s by the children's show Zoom. Good day was gabud debay. That's that old Bill Cosby bit. Yeah, that's isn't Mushmouth Melvin from Fat Albert doing that? Abba Boba Baby.
No.
Oh, no? Isn't that what that was? Abba Boba Baby. If you're old enough to remember Fat Albert, it was the rapist's cartoon.
There would be kids that would do that in the Philippines, and it would be really funny because a lot of the other American missionaries could barely understand the language as it was.
Regular English?
Yeah. Well, no, the Filipino language, Tagalog. But I picked up on the language pretty well, and then, it even concentrated enough that, I could pick up on that. And there'd be, teenage kids being like, "Oh, I'm going to talk about this," and then they find out that I could speak Tagalog, and then they'd be like, "Well, can you understand this?" And they'd say things, and I'm like, "Yep." And I'd say it back to them, and they'd be like, "Wow, it's really..." They'd be really impressed.
Hmm. Well, there's
I've lost all those language skills, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you'll use it.
20
it.
Years. Yeah.
There's an electronic. There's an EDM festival in Texas called the Ubby Dubby Festival. Oh, wow. I want to hear some of this.
Type in Zoom show.
Well, yeah, I got it. Hold on. Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
I would shoot my television. This was what kids were doing?
They would do full segments like that. Mm-hmm. Huh? They would do full segments like that because it was kind of like a sketch show, but not really. They had where they would teach you how to do a science experiment, and then another one was
making
a turkey sandwich.
This is when Zoom came back.
Because
Zoom was on when I was in kindergarten on PBS.
That's what I was saying. I was surprised you remember.
It was about that time when we were.
Yeah,
probably late 90s.
I didn't know it ever came back. Yeah. I thought,
skip
okay.
me. I didn't.
That would be hard to remember, to say, to, and for what?
And just can't even speak English. But no kid, trying to speak Zoom.
There were kids doing this in real life?
Yeah, yes, big time. You were a cool kid if you could speak it.
That made you a cool kid?
Yes.
Yeah. I got kicked out. Well, we were sitting on the rug. This is how young we were. We were sitting on the rug, and these kids were sitting there doing it. And I'm like, I was intrigued. I'm like, "What are you saying?" And they're like, "Well, if you're not smart enough to know, you're not smart enough to learn."
Oh,
I was like, "Bitch!"
Oh my god! I kids are the worst.
I was gonna take a crayon and just gouge it in her freaking ear. I was like, "How dare you? How am I supposed to know if I can't learn?"
The Crayola killer.
Alan, did you have a Chicago accent you had to work to lose? No.
Chicagoans have accents?
Yeah. Yeah, Southside? Yeah, Chicago?
Oh, I don't know.
You never saw Da Bear's bit on SNL with George Wendt?
Yeah, but I guess I didn't. Yeah,
yeah, that's a Chicago accent. That's more of a Southside thing. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think I do. I say Chicago.
Who is the...
Which some people think is weird.
There's a comedian from Chicago, Danny, I can't remember his last
name. Elfman.
No. Alan, you know him. He's
Pat McGann?
No, Danny, and he's real skinny, got a beard.
Oh, God, Danny. What is his last name?
But
Trejo.
No, not Brian. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he does a. He's kind of got the accent, but he can really turn it on when he's doing his uncle. And he's like, I got these boots from Aldi.
Danny Callis?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny Callis.
Yeah, he's got that great
Yeah, front. Go meet mom in the front room. That's kind of why I nailed the Pittsburgh thing, because it's similar to that. Yeah. But it's more like Wisconsin and, you know, things like that. It is spelled aluminium. America drops the I. Is that true?
No idea. Look up a periodic table of elements.
Well, that's because there's no I in freedom.
Oh, my God. I hate you so much.
Aluminum. Aluminum. I mean, periodic table says aluminum. Aluminium. Maybe. Okay.
You got to go on the British Google, stupid.
Oh, I see. Aluminium. Aluminium. Okay. Oh, we drop it? Aluminium is like, oh, wow. All right. Boom.
I learned something. And it takes me to Amazon. I don't want to buy a periodic table. I want to see it.
Alan pronounced differently as...
your periodic table?
Differently.
Next week.
Differently. I'm not going to do... You know, I like to speak a little differently than everybody else. Ah, right.
Well, you said you want to do a... we all say Halloween, but you want to really emphasize the Hallows.
Okay. No, I was just curious because I find myself saying Halloween, but I wasn't sure if other people say that. And Mary's right. When I hear somebody say Halloween, it sounds weird.
It sounds weird.
Is All Hallows Eve, so that's why I was curious.
None of that matters. Say whatever you want.
Alan, have you noticed how people have collectively stopped pronouncing soft consonants? Like button is now button. I hate that. That drives me bananas.
Button.
When people go, I can't get this button. I'm like, oh my God. And I don't know why. Just hits my ear wrong.
It's just tease.
Huh?
Just tease. British people do that. British.
But that's an accent. Listen, I'm not living in England. I'm living here. So these people aren't they're not trying to be British.
You don't know that.
Yeah, change my mind.
Cody, say bud.
Button. It's like a Kardashian, like, button.
It's not even like vocal fry. It's just people speaking and dropping out things from what they say. Hey, how about those new, they're sure shooting a wad over that new dumb Ohio license plate that looks like, when did license plates, I had a car behind me in traffic and it was from Texas, probably maybe a rental car, I don't know, maybe they were driving through town, but out of all the license plates you think would be some big, you know, painting of their state or big in everything, the license plate for Texas is just
Texas.
Yeah, it's black letters on a white background.
Texas.
I'm like, that's what it should be. I don't know when license plates had to become portraits all of a sudden.
Because there are, and they can make money off of it.
Make money off what?
They make money off. Yeah, they don't charge.
It's got nothing to do with how they look.
They charge whatever they want. We got to get it.
Yeah, some people opt for these, but you know, it says like, what does it say on it? Birthplace of aviation. Like, come on, guy, get rid of that.
Why does it bother you so much?
The birthplace of aviation.
Yeah.
Literally the only connection Ohio has to aviation is that Orville Wright was born in Dayton.
Yeah. So technically, thank you, you're welcome. Without Ohio, there would be no airplanes.
Wilbur Wright was born in Indiana.
We're not talking about Wilbur.
Why doesn't Indiana say birthplace of aviation?
Because Orville started it.
The flight went up in Kitty Hawk.
No.
They say, what does North Carolina say?
Something first in flight.
First in flight.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Birthplace of aviation.
It is
the birthplace. It's the birthplace of one Wright brother.
Yeah.
That's not the birthplace of aviation. Well, you needed both of them to aviate.
No.
Yeah.
It was his idea.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You need AV and then you need Asian.
So they dropped this new license plate that I don't know if it's going to be the standard one. I assume it's one you can opt for. Oh, this is the standard one. Well, it's awful. It looks like a friggin', just give me a color with the letters and the numbers on it. Vermont does it. New York does it. It looks great. This has got like wheat fields and Cleveland's skyline in the background and a river.
Give me it. I'm proud of where I'm from,
you're a
Alan.
Sucker.
That's your problem.
You're such a sucker.
Well, that's fine. I'm not from here. I'm just saying that aesthetically, it looks goofy. Why do you need all that crap on a license plate?
Because of pride.
It's not going to read properly. The word Ohio is like squeezed into a silhouette of the state. So people are going to go, what? Say what?
I like it now. I didn't care before.
But now that I don't like it, you like it.
But now that it bothers you.
So upset about it.
It doesn't. I'm not. I've ever seen.
It doesn't bother. Well, it does bother me. But
you're bothered.
It's stupid.
You're pretty bothered.
I don't get it. Why do I have to be all like
Why not? Why not add a little color
pizzazz
to the, you know, the license plates of the world?
The license plates of the world. Yeah.
Somebody wanted to do their job, and they wanted to do it well. What they did.
When we were in Colorado, I like those license plates. It's green. It's like a forest green with white mountains in the back. So it's a nice contrast.
Everyone likes it because it's white.
And then just the letters and numbers and Colorado underneath. Well, it's all you need.
We don't got any mountains, but we got farms.
Aviation.
And aviation.
And this for people who haven't seen it, you got Mike DeWine and his wife picked it out, I think, so that tells you all you need to know. But there's like sun rays in the back and a tree on one side and the Cleveland skyline and the others. If that's even Cleveland, I don't know, just tall buildings. And then a wheat field in the foreground and a river and then a plane with a banner in the state. Oh my God.
You really are bothered by it.
It's just stupid.
I'm not difficult to please.
I'm not. I just told you how to please me with license plate. I'm not difficult at all. Keep it simple, stupid. That's the golden rule in a lot of things. Keep it simple. You know, get some a nice contrast in colors. Nobody's going, ooh, I got to move to all. Because what is the point of this? Here's my question. Tourism. What is the point of? Nope. Now one person is going to go, I got to go to Ohio. You see that license plate?
I think they might.
First of all, you're not going to run into one of these outside of Ohio. So
people
drive
their cars outside of Ohio.
I've been known to do it.
I'm doing it very soon.
Has anyone ever said, I'm coming to visit you because of that license plate?
No, yes. But that's not. I think it's somebody's like, hey, we got to redesign the license plate, so we got to come up with ideas. And that's one of the ideas that they had.
You know why this kind of stuff bothers me?
Why is that?
Because this is representative of a billion other things that are 1,000 times more important in the state and the cities, right? That should, if they devoted this kind of time to things that actually matter, it's these dumb little things where they really put the nose to the grindstone and figure it out. I'm like, Jesus Christ, nobody cares about this. I mean, I do, but I hate it. I guess that's still caring.
Yep.
Oh, it made me mad.
You also don't know that. This could have been made in Microsoft Paint 8 minutes before the meeting.
I think you're right. It looks like it.
Yeah. So it might not be that all these resources were spent on the new license plate.
No, but time is a resource, right? Manpower is a resource. I don't think this is costing them a lot of money. I don't think they commissioned an artist. But if Mike DeWine and his wife worked on it, stop it. Plates will be available by the end of the year. So there you go. And you're right. Who cares, right? You're correct. But anything that bothers any person, you could go, who cares? Right?
Right.
I love them.
I know what someone's getting for Christmas.
A license plate?
I'm going to be for Halloween.
Nobody's going to know what you are because everything is smashed together. They're going to go, what are you? I'm the Ohio license plate. Jesus, that's the Ohio license plate? I couldn't tell.
Is it really that?
I just like simple license plates. I like the old school, like New Mexico, letters, numbers, land of enchantment.
I like the way things were back in the day.
No. I remember when ice cream was a nickel.
No, I'm talking about
when there was a horse-drawn carriage and it had a name tag.
I'm not talking about back in the day. Feel free to go to, let's say, now in another state. It's not putting artwork on their license plates. Why do I care? Because we all have to drive around with these. That's why. You can't get away from them. I got to look at them.
Just tape a piece of paper over yours and just write Alan.
I'm going to.
Wait. Laminate it so that, you know, the snow doesn't affect it.
And it's not like you have to get one of these. Yeah. You have a license plate already.
Yeah, I know.
You just got to buy a new sticker every year.
Yeah, well. A lot of people are pointing out that on the new license plate, the plane is going backwards. So, listen, that's the most Ohio thing about it. So, don't change that.
Well, that was they released a corrected image of that already.
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm talking about. All the work that went into this, no one noticed that before they posted the initial image of it. Nobody caught that.
Because no one knows what that dumb plane looks like.
Everybody.
When was the last time you saw one of a Wright Brothers plane?
It's like a part of American history. It's legendary.
But if you looked at it, you would know, like, oh, something that doesn't seem right.
No, but I'm not designing license plates. I'm not throwing all this crap on there.
Again, I stick to my 8 minutes Microsoft before the paint. Meeting theory.
Well, it's flying out of Ohio in the picture I'm seeing, so that makes sense.
There's people, it's like that flight out of Afghanistan. There's people hanging on the plane trying to get up.
Cleveland.
Our phone operators are standing by with their thumbs up their asses waiting for you to call. So call.
Call the Alan Cox Show. 216-578-1007 or 1-800-348-1007.
By the way, thank you to the person who texted me and got me hip to an organization called ALPCA, A-L-P-C-A. This goes right into what I was talking about before the break, Bill. It's the Automobile License Plate Collectors Association. Now, I am not a license plate collector.
Not yet.
But you know... but you know... you know, my dad kept every license plate we ever had. But this is my point. If you go to ALPCA.org, you know what's not on the front page? The breaking news about the new Ohio license plate.
Yeah, because they're all concerned stupid, about nobody the cares. Old stuff, not the new stuff.
Then. No, they got new stuff. They got the award for plate of the year. That goes to Oklahoma. Plate of the year for 2021. Or 2020.
How often do they update this website?
It says Oklahoma wins the best plate award for 20. We're not even done with 2021 yet. They can't give away plate of the year for 2021.
Right. So maybe what if Ohio wins it next year?
For the new
Won't
one.
You feel stupid?
Yeah, I will feel stupid.
You feel so stupid.
Well, I won't feel stupid. I will renounce what will end up being my membership dues to the Automobile License Plate Collectors Association. They've got a magazine called Plates Magazine.
Yes.
They've got the president's blog. Cindy McCabe is the president of ALPCA. They've got archives. You can look at all the old license plates.
Oh, can you imagine?
They have two 2021 Hall of Fame inductees.
July 20th through 23rd, 3-day convention.
Yes.
In 2022 in Hampton, Virginia.
Hampton Roads.
We
I know
gotta
the area.
Go. We got to go, right?
Show trip.
So I'm telling
67th
you.
67th annual.
Who knew license plates have been around that long? I'm telling you right now, I'll be out the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of July next summer so that I can fully immerse myself in the 67th Annual International Convention. I wonder if they take unkindly to lurkers. I wonder if they take unkindly to people who aren't...
They're just happy to have people that are interested in
license plate
plates,
collectors. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just looking around. I want to see. I don't
convert
know if I don't want to. I don't know if I want to dive all the way in yet.
That Oklahoma license plate is busy.
Yeah, it really
that
is.
That one's all over the place.
So
that's not what I would expect from Oklahoma.
Save the Monarchs.
Save the Monarchs, and then like just the all the colors. I feel like there's a lot of guys that are like, I don't want this fruity plate on my truck.
Fruity plate with Save the Monarchs on it? Well, from what I can tell, Oklahoma really, really seems to want a king. So, but maybe I'll become a member of ALPCA. And I'll start collecting license plates. I'm not really a collector, though. I mean, don't count grudges. But I'm not really, like, I wouldn't have a collection of license plates or, you know. I wonder what the Venn diagram is between people who go to the license plate convention and flat earthers. Wonder how that plays out.
I like license plates because they're flat like the earth.
That's right. Look at this G.I. Joe I put in this license plate. Just like the earth, if he gets to the edge, he'll fall off.
Oh my gosh. And somebody, do you see in the pictures on this website, that guy has like a license plate jacket?
Yeah.
These are for real people. I mean, this is serious stuff. They can't get serious. We're laughing, but it means everything to them.
You know what? My niece, my 9-year-old niece, is super into license plates right now. And I don't know... she's in fourth grade, which I think is when you start to learn about states and things like states and capitals.
Her tested.
Well, but so like everywhere we go, she's like looking at license plates in the parking lots, and there's this place called Southside Diner that has all 50 states' license plates on the wall. So she always wants to go eat there. It's a diner. The food's not fantastic. I mean, it's a diner food.
It's all cooked on old license plates.
Yeah. Is that Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands license plate?
I don't know. Probably
and
not.
States.
Probably not. Not territories. But maybe I'll take her to this convention next summer. You think she'd like that?
Honey, would you like to go to the Hampton Roads area?
Would you like to go look at all the license plates?
My mom has things where, like, you'll be into it as a 9-year-old, but then, like, book the trip, and then she's like, oh, I don't have the license plates anymore.
License plates are for babies, yeah, or something.
Stupid.
My mom, when we were younger, she had, when they were coming out with the new quarters, my mom had like a booklet where you could put all the new quarters, and then her now ex-husband, whenever he needed a little extra cash, he would like pluck a couple out, and he have, you know, a dollar so he could get like a wrap or something. I don't know.
We had one of those too, and it just was like, I remember my mom trying to get us excited about it, and she's like, we already got Alaska and Hawaii.
Those are the two hardest to get.
The two hardest to get.
Mm-hmm. No, because they would circulate all over.
Yeah.
By the way, I stand corrected. A lot of people are getting me hip to the fact that, I'm being told that the a lot of the aviation design work was done in Dayton, but Kitty Hawk provided wind and a sand dune and a place they could launch it. But
can't play without a sand dune.
Wright Brothers got a whole lot of things. So, birthplace of aviation, I thought they were simply referring to. I thought they were hanging on by their fingernails to that one. But, yeah, okay. I mean, I know Wright-Patterson is in Dayton, and, you know, but... Okay, so... Birthplace of aviation, fine. That should stay. But just put in black letters underneath the letters and the numbers. We have a plane flying backwards, carrying a banner.
They fixed it.
Alan Cox Show After Hours line. Anytime you want to leave us a message, you can. It's 216-986-8903.
Hey, Alan, P1 podcast listener. You know, I was just driving home, and I took a second. I looked at Instagram here, and I seen a young Mary Santora looking mighty fine, actually, in a pair of brown leggings. And I usually call and give everyone a hard time, specifically her. So I want to say, looks pretty good. And I like those leggings. Go ahead and chop it off here if you want it to be nice. I looked at...
All right, I don't
back
know.
Back door, which is the door that everybody uses.
I don't know what he's saying. Chop it off here, be nice.
That means he's going to come... with something not so nice after that,
yeah. I looked at it for a little bit longer, and then I realized pretty quickly what it was I really liked about the picture, and that was the phone was blocking her face. See, I hate the show.
Oh, no.
I knew it was coming.
The phone was blocking her face.
There he is.
Oh, he stuck it, too, even with that new grill and everything.
See, it's
kind of like a month.
Wait, you had the phone in front of your face.
Yeah, because I wanted to angle it so that I could get the whole, because I was like leaned against my, whatever, angle right.
This isn't a butt picture.
No, it's I'm wearing Brown's leggings today, and it's the first time I've worn them.
Oh, this is a picture
season,
from today,
from this morning.
I see.
So I posted on my Instagram, and I said, "Do you think that these leggings is the first time I'm wearing them? Do you think they'll be lucky or unlucky for our game tonight? Because it's obviously
so for that guy, leggings. A little bit of both,
a little bit of both. But no, you cannot see. So if you would like to see my body in Brown's themed clothing without having to look at my face, Mary Santora comedy on Instagram.
Don't sleep on it. This is a post or a story.
It's a post.
So it won't go away in 24 hours. It'll be right there. Phone over the face. All right.
I was like trying to angle it because it's on my story as well with a pole on it. So I was like, it doesn't matter. It all slides around and it mushes out and nothing stays where it's supposed to stay.
See, I don't understand why people want to post thirst traps for people like that. Like people who are looking for instant gratification and they're like, you know what,
I'm going to post. 100% what it was.
But I'm not talking about necessarily you. I'm talking because you don't show like bikini pics or like a butt pic or anything like that. But girls that do, they get the gratification from the dudes that are like, damn, bitch, you look bomb. They get those, but they also get... yeah, your body's hot, but I see a stretch mark, or
yeah,
you know,
you get picked apart.
You look at your big nose, like your big boobs.
Yeah,
and big
but then
butt
you get
makeup.
To school them and be like, you shouldn't body shame. I can't believe you can't.
How dare you critique that photo that I put out there publicly for your
but
identification?
But those people follow just to make those type of comments,
right? But that's part of what
posting
it
is.
Like, yeah, well, if you're posting, you got to deal with stuff like that.
You take the rough with the smooth.
Honestly, after Bill told me that dudes toss off to fully clothed pictures anyway, I was like, well, screw it then. I'll post whatever the hell I want.
But
like,
not of you, Mary.
Well, if my face is covered, they will.
Okay. Guys toss off to fully clothed pictures of women. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. We had that conversation a while ago.
Yeah. Like last year.
Where Mary's like, it's not a thirst trap, and guys aren't looking at this. I'm like, absolutely. Any picture that you post... A guy, especially if you're like in the public eye, like there's a guy looking at that being like, this'll do.
Well, sure. Listen, there are weird dudes in every corner of everywhere.
Yeah,
but
that's what I'm saying.
I still think thirst traps are more of a specific thing.
Of course.
I feel like, but yes, thirst traps are, you got a lot of skin showing, you got a little sexy look on your face, maybe you got, your butt out or something.
Yeah,
I discovered.
That's why the girls who have any kind of accomplishments whatsoever are much more front and center about them, because then when they post a bunch of thirst traps, which they will, they can go, excuse me, I'm a law student.
Yeah.
You go, all right, but you're not posting, pictures of,
me and my
law student.
Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Alan Cox Show! Exclusive news!
It has been confirmed that the human remains found in Florida belong to Brian Laundrie.
Is that the wrong? Yeah, okay. Somebody texted me that before, but I didn't see anything, so I was like, where'd you see that? But I guess it's getting out there now. So,
CBSNews.com is where.
Wow, I wonder how long he's been there.
Again, baby teeth.
But just what an awful end to the whole thing.
Yeah.
His whole head.
His whole head? It's a head?
I mean,
it's a whole head.
They had his teeth in his jaw, so I imagine it's.
Well, what is it? Does it say what they found?
You said teeth and jaw.
Well, if they find a skull, body decomposes
very quickly.
You don't keep
your baby teeth in a jaw,
right?
I was saying that. All right.
How fast does a body decompose?
In the water, probably, quickly. And fish and stuff are gonna
even
eat
not
it.
In the water. I mean,
a week,
a few days. Yeah, yeah. I mean, once the blood stops pumping and everything, once your tissue goes necrotic, like it's just
the blood stops pumping,
and then animals are gonna eat it. And what's that?
smash mouth over here.
Huh.
Well, there you go. Dental record show remains found, or those are Brian.
I feel like this whole country just needs closure. Why? Why did this happen? What was this trying to teach us?
Well, you tell me. Was it trying to teach us something?
White people get murdered, and it's a big old thing. Black people get murdered, just another day in their life.
Yeah, it wasn't a big old thing when George Floyd got murdered.
That was by a white person, Bill. By a white person.
Oh, so when... So,
white people have to be involved. This is
okay. Yeah. Well. You're right about that.
I am right about that. I'm absolutely.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just love the old Bob Schimmel joke. He's like, because if they don't know who you are, how do they know who your dentist is? Identified by the dental records. It's so simple, but
never
so
go
funny.
To the dentist if you want to commit murder, guys.
Never go to the dentist. Oh, is that why all those people with garbage breath are walking around? They're future killers?
Probably.
Oh, good to know. There was a video of, there's some sheriff apparently in Florida who thinks that junk food is the key to cutting down murder rates down there.
What?
In Florida.
No, that's not it. Probably less drugs would help.
Well, I'll just play his little clip here.
They feel so good, though.
He's trying to figure out, this is in, he oversees Polk County, where law enforcement officials are investigating 27 different murder cases right now, and he's trying to get people to just go about things a different way.
So, just chill out. drink a 7-Up, eat a moon pie, quit murdering people.
There you go. There's a great. I'll tell you what. That is an elected position, sheriff. It's not appointed. That's elected. That's a guy named Grady Judd, which is one of the greatest in the southern names. Grady Judd says Polk County's murder rate is up with 34 people killed so far this year. Just chill out, drink 7-Up, eat a moon pie, and quit murdering people.
Doesn't that sound like an answer a little kid would give? Like when they're doing a man on the street thing, and they're like, how do you think we should get the murder rate down? They're like, I don't know, just chill out and have 7-Up, eat a moon pie.
Snacks.
Yeah, stop murdering people. So, boy, great news for 7-Up and Moon Pie right now, too. Those aren't two brands you hear a whole lot about, but now they're back in the news.
Yeah, take that, Snickers.
Yeah, you're not chewing, you're hungry, huh?
You're not a murderer when you have a moon pie.
It doesn't have to be either or. Imagine someone is stabbing you to death while they have a moon pie in their other hand and they're eating that.
John Wayne Gacy probably was doing that.
Sure. He's a fat serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Jeffrey Holder? Remember the actor? He was in Boomerang. He was Baron Saturday in Live and Let Die. He was this actor from Trinidad. He was a ballet dancer for many years and started acting. But he's very famous for doing the old 7-Up commercials. Remember the he was like, hello, it's... I'll play a little clip here. Remember Jeffrey Holder?
No.
Wet, wild, all that.
marvelous, absolutely marvelous. Just try making something like that out of a cola nut.
He was like cola nut because they called 7-Up the un-cola because it was clear and refreshing. This guy did 7-Up commercials forever. They brought him back. I mean, he's been dead now for probably 6-7 years. But they brought him back in the early aughts to kind of do a retro thing.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
I remember.
This was 70s, but I mean, I didn't know if you guys knew of those commercials or not. Mm-hmm. So 7-Up, instead of the un-cola, they should rebrand in Florida as the un-killer.
Un-killer, yeah.
Un-killer.
Well, I remember the Orlando Jones 7-Up commercials where he would be like, make 7, up yours. And mm-hmm. then people would be walking by, they'd be like, up yours, man. Like, it'd be all mad. It, yeah. it said, make 7 on the front of his shirt and then up yours.
Up yours.
On the back.
Yeah, that was a funny campaign.
Yeah.
I was a Jeffrey Holder generation, but.
Man, Orlando Jones was the thing. Like, I want to say that was like 97 was around the time of those.
Drumline was when he was big too.
Well, he's on Mad TV. He was the first cast of Mad TV. Mm-hmm.
But then, like, he launched and then. It was just a quick disappeared, yeah.
He was on, for anybody who watched the show American Gods, he was on that last couple seasons.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Drumline?
Drumline was like late,
not
right?
Replacement.
What was
well, yeah,
Evolution? The
replacements? He had to put glue on his hands because he was like real fast but couldn't catch the ball or something like that.
Evolution,
that was
God. That was, yeah, that was Ivan Reitman trying to do like trying to recapture Ghostbusters magic. Orlando Jones was the door-to-door magazine salesman in Office Space.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm trying to get off drugs.
Miss Steve.
Crack cocaine. Yeah.
Listen, man, I don't actually do drugs. I got laid off.
Yeah.
I actually make more money doing this than I did.
At Intertrode.
Yeah. Wait, Intertrode. You were at Intertrode?
We know a lot of the same people.
The football team usually dumps a bucket of ice water on the coast. Now, I thought, why not 7-Up?
Talk cans. They knock the coach.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find 4 of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink. Unless you can double think, you'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.